And Russ is going to call in a few minutes. Alrighty here. Can y'all hear me?
I think so.
Okay. Well, folks, we got a few. You have old News Gay here, the Jew boy. I called in to the Newskike show and essentially gave him this number. He's probably going to go ahead and use clips for it the other day here. Folks, let me go ahead and take a sip of water, and we will start in a minute. Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, Man's Ass, Clouds, Across the Fridge, and Nuts, Zog Plain, in the open air, coast to coast, nut house, we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But this show, as always, is aimed at the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ call. Greetings. The 9th is the 9th of May, 2013, episode number 173.5. I had my computer crash at an inopportune moment, so I didn't get to put it up over on Stumble In and Previous Descent, but I did get out, I did send out, essentially to the regular ones here. I'm not sure if Zogbuster will go ahead and find it or not. Sounds like our supposedly federal agent, Poppycat, found it, and Newskike found it. In case, let me see, tomorrow will be 8 years that I got, you know, arrested and essentially jailed and tortured for, oh, 3.5 years on bogus child molestation cases, which had to be dismissed here. Anyway, we're hoping to have Russ Walker call in, and Logan and I were discussing a number of things. Russ wants to get along with about everybody in the bowel movement. It doesn't really matter if the character looks like a Jew, like Eli James, or like a Mamzer, or whatever else here it looks like. It doesn't really matter to Russ. He will want to be buddy-buddies with it until it particularly annoys him. And supposedly he's going to go ahead and, you know, visit Visser. Now, Visser claims to be 6'5", blonde and blue-eyed. And, folks, I have a number of pictures of Visser from his own YouTube video, and Visser has never, ever, never, ever been blue-eyed. His little Mamzers are not blue-eyed. His high yellow hibernigger skank, Bridget the Idiot, and she is a thieving bitch, too, here. She hangs around, and sometimes she gets all annoyed, and she runs off to Mommy, who's a Catholic, in Washington, and takes some little pisser possums with her. And sometimes she's fucking this Jew over on the beer barrel. But in any case, Visser has all sorts of little notions. He's plugging his book. R.D. Bradshaw mentioned something about Visser's book to the dumb sheep. Now, in the Worldwide Church of God, which R.D. Bradshaw came through like I did, we kept on hearing this quote about, you are just, you know, we are the apostles, we are the leaders, we are the chosen God, and you are just dumb sheep. Bah! And to those of us who didn't much care for that, essentially this abuse here by these bail priests, we just simply said, screw this, you know, dumb sheep routine here. We don't need to, you know, give any money to Zog Babylon. Anyway, you have a number of people, and, you know, like, well, you had three Jews. You had the intern, you had Dembski, and, of course, you had Neuskeich on that show, and they're all pretending to be something other than Jews here, especially Neuskeich. And, you know, this character, Dog Farts Can Peel Paint. None of these Jews seem to have the notion is that when you show up on Jeremy Visser's show after the Neuskeich show is over, and here you are going ass to mouth with another Sephardic melungeon talking about how Marty is a, you know, idiot, Marty is a Mamzer, Marty is this, Marty is that, and how Logan is a retard, and how essentially Russ is going to be fooled by Visser. I mean, how many more kikes do you need in order to be fooled? The second thing that's going on big in the movement is that under Fred O'Malley and another tard, they formed a new forum called WhiteNation.com. It's a V. Bulletin forum for White Nations, www.WhiteNations.com. And essentially, a lot of my work sort of died here when the Sheba number 2 crashed. And in any case, I have the, you know, I have the problem in that, today last night I called the, you know, around, well, 5 o'clock in the morning, I called my internet service provider, and they said, no, you have a dynamic IP. Why, it changes every 10 minutes. And I said, well, I'm able to see my IP number, and it don't look like it's changed at all. It doesn't register. Oh, no, just unplug it for 10 minutes here. So I unplugged it for 10 hours. And when I came back around 4 o'clock, you know, it had been down for about 10, 11 hours, essentially had the same IP number. So I talked during business hours to this little girl, so-called tech support in Panama. And in order to change my IP number, I'm going to have to make an arrangement with actual tech support during weekday business hours to change my static IP. So that's what Visser's done. I mean, it's a vicious Mamzer who deliberately, you know, OBJ and Ben, the rest, they data mine, and Visser essentially went ahead and made a complaint to TalkShoe, and essentially got my IP number, essentially, you know, has my IP number, and essentially has me blocked. You know, not account blocked, but he has me IP blocked at TalkShoe. So for the last week, starting Thursday, I have had to essentially use Logan's services, you know, essentially having the show. Okay? So, in any case, Logan, can you hear me?
Yeah, I didn't hear the show last night, but evidently Russ listened in to Visser and Obi Genderbender, and basically Visser was bashing me and you and John Britton, and you know John Britton's not even on the radio. I mean, why the hell would he even talk about him?
Well, they were yapping about how Marty must have him as crawl space, like this Beaner did, these three Whigris and Beanerous skanks here for a decade or something like that. The truth of the matter is that Brian Reel caused him a great deal of trouble. Eli James caused him a great deal of trouble. And Visser caused him a great deal of trouble. They stalked him and the rest. Essentially, John Britton just, John Britton's lawyer at the time just said, hey, get off the internet. He decided to get off the internet. It was between Jeremy Visser and Brian Wright, and essentially later on, Brian Reel stalking him. And what, what Russ did, he said a little bit more than what I wanted, probably, or John would want him to say. I mean, essentially, John has a job. And most of the time, that job, it's seasonal work. And essentially, he will work 14-hour days. So I wait for him to call me. I don't call him. I mean, heck, he might be somewhere where there's not cell phone coverage. He might be wherever he's at. I wait for him to call me. And essentially, he does not do these talk show shows or anything anymore. You know what I mean? He's not out. I mean, 2 years ago, he asked, why do you bother, Martin? I mean, it's just nothing but wall-to-wall Jews and Manzers. Now, what you have, and the reason I went ahead and talked about no unity, no unity in the movement, Willie Martin, who Obi Genderbender says wrote the most wonderful book. Now, I knew Willie Martin. Willie Martin, among other people, went ahead and sent me copies of his work. But Willie Martin would take 10 words that Bertrand Comparé would only take one word to, cover. But, I knew Willie Martin. Willie Martin was a friend of mine. But no, you have these characters, and they look like Visser. They're just cork-eyed, hook-nosed, Sephardic Jews. In the case of Fink, I see this one with this big fat retard Greg Howard. The character looks like he's never had pussy since pussy had him. He's just big fat and sort of retarded, but he is a winger. And he's talking to Fink, and Fink, shows his profile. And most people, when they look on it, Fink, they see that big old nigger-like looking nose. But when he's on the side, I'll be damned if Fink's big ass old nose ain't hooked. I mean, Fink looks like a particularly big hooked nose Jew.
Hold on, who was this fat Wegger that was friends with Fink? What was his name?
Greg Howard. Now, essentially, he goes ass to mouth with Eli James. And, Russ Walker wants to pretend that he didn't know that Fink was a murderous Jersey City pig who murdered a Puerto Rican up until, last year. Then he goes ahead, I didn't know. Fink lied to me.
Russ looked at Fink. And he doesn't have a problem with the way he looks, but Russ is saying that Fink and Obi Genderbender both have a harsh voice like a Jew. So he's saying
essentially Russ doesn't like Obi Genderbender's voice. Obi Genderbender sounds like a self-righteous Piers Morgan but a faggot, and you go ahead and you look at Oba Genderbender's avatar. Oba Genderbender was twisting like crazy to explain how we're the faggots, because Oba Genderbender wants to impersonate a young white female. You know what I mean? And everybody, in Christian Identity, Fink himself, Whiny Dave from the UK, a number of people say, I wish you wouldn't impersonate a young white female, beautiful female. It creeps me out. And it does say in the Bible that if you catch somebody impersonating a female, you put them to death. None of this, you're some sort of poofter faggot with gender identity issues who wants to run around dressing up in women's clothing or pretend to be a female. I mean, hell, even the VNNF TARDs figured out the critter. They weren't quite sure what the critter was, but they were able to figure out that Oba Genderbender had gender identity issues. Even VNNF idiots.
And see, here's the thing. Even if you get past Visser's, obviously he doesn't look white, all his pictures. Even if you get past his pictures, and even if you get past, he really doesn't understand the scripture. He's not really a good teacher. Even if you get past all that, and also everybody that follows him is a Jew or Mamzer, even if you get past that, why would you, if Visser's such a great identity preacher, why would he bring in Oba Genderbender? Why would he still support him? After all this time, everybody has been turned off by Oba, and Visser still takes up for him, and he won't give out his name, and basically he tries to protect him, and he's always, basically he's my friend, he's a good guy. I mean, what's so special about Oba?
There's a big stink about what? Last week, you end up having the Mamzer Tards, Ethan24, Aryan Nation 777. He's another of these Anglo mestizos of Sport Galette. I mean, essentially, they have all these Mamzers, and what they want is that they figure out that Oba Genderbender is a Pisser's poster possum, and a tranny. And essentially, they don't mind the fact that this is a Mamzer. I mean, they don't mind. Most of them are Eli James followers. But what they do is they think that Visser looks bad with this character, Oba Genderbender. And the answer is that Visser essentially is nothing more than a Mamzer. Now, what you see on his show, is that initially, I'm usually the first one there, and I can't troll as much as I used to with four different ones, because I have to use a Tor browser. That's why I've been IP banned. But Visser did, Visser did go ahead and have me IP banned. What I do is essentially I simply go ahead and hook up another modem. I may go ahead and do that this weekend. I may go ahead and hook up this old modem, which does not have a router, and essentially see if I can't change my IP number that away. You know what I mean? And then once I then I can go ahead and essentially get back into TalkShoe, reset and load up whatever I need to load up. And essentially, look, Visser is, Visser, you look at Visser, he's a Mamzer. R.D. Bradshaw was saying, okay. Hopefully this is Russ. Hello.
Hey, Martin, this is Russ. How are you?
Okay, well, we were talking about Visser and Oba Genderbender. Essentially, I went ahead and put on my forum your email. Now, I didn't put Visser's phone number. I'm not. What Visser will do is that Visser will try to get in by showing its light-haired little mongrels, light-haired little cork-eyed mongrels to pretend to be white. And you got to understand is that Visser looks a good deal more white than his full-blooded brother, Sean Aaron Visser, who looks just like a beaner. Visser's father is essentially a Dutch Sephardic Jew of some sort. And essentially, Visser's mother, from what I gather, gets tribal benefits. And, he claims Cherokee, but in other times he claims to be a Creek Indian.
He's probably
either a hack. I don't think he's even a hack, so I think he's just a shit-ass from the Wipeout tribe. But Visser is an obvious mongrel. but that you were complaining about Obergenderbender. You haven't seen an actual picture of Obergenderbender, have you?
Martin, I know so little about these people, it's unbelievable. I mean, I've heard you hear this Obergenderbender. I thought he was some guy from the state of Washington. Apparently,
no.
He lives in Melbourne, Australia.
That got revealed last year. He went ahead and he has an Aussie accent. He sounds a good deal like this, this evil old limey, piece of shit named Piers Morgan, who wants to, essentially take everybody's guns. But he not only sounds effeminate. When he first showed up, he's done the same thing. When he showed up 5-6 years ago on BNNF in 2007, what he does is he will put up a avatar of a young white girl, even though he's my age, about, 53, 54, 55. And he freaks everybody out. Even BNNF TARS think the character has gender identity issues. Pastor John Brent thinks he's an actual transsexual. But Obergenderbender has enough sense, to know that if it shows his actual name and face, that essentially people will look at him and that's going to be the end of that. You know what I mean? You see me post a picture of Eli James's talk show picture next to these two Jews, two Jew rabbis flanking Rahm Emanuel at Hanukkah 2010, haven't you? And then I say, why does Eli James look so much like a Chicago Sephardic Jew? You know what I mean?
He does.
And he does. He looks exactly. I mean, Eli James looks like a mongrel. I don't know if you've seen the pictures of Visser. I don't think he's 6'5". I go ahead and look at him in relationship to ordinary people. And when you have somebody, he is over, 6'3", 6'4", you can
tell. They stand out.
You can tell in relationship to if they're showing up with anybody else.
I don't think he's 6'5". Now, listen,
he's
6'5". He denied all those pictures that you posted of him, even the one that came off his own YouTube page, he denies that that's his picture. He's saying that we haven't even seen what he looks like. Come on.
In the case of the YouTubes, I took that from Peter's baptism in February 2010, and Newskike is on, and about a couple months when I first showed that.
Who is this person, Newskike?
News guy, he's a Jew, he's a Brooklyn Jew, a crippled Brooklyn Jew who supposedly lives in his mommy's basement in Brooklyn. And over the years, he has pretended to be either an Australian or an Icelander. And what he is he's just simply a Jew. You've heard of Hal Turner. Hal Turner started out with these Jews called the Right Perspective. I call them the Kike Perspective. Hal Turner ended up, making the Zogbot big time, and he had his own show, and he pretty well left the Right Perspective or the Kike Perspective. But anyway, News Guy is a Jew called Peter Goodman. I figured out he is a Jew when I first heard him in, I think, October 2011, interviewing Brian Rio. And then when he said his name was Goodman, I knew he was a Jew. But I knew he was a Jew before he said that. He's a Jew who pretends to live in Iceland. And you end up having all these other Jews, get on. And I actually got on the Newskike show. He's a Nimbuster Jew. And essentially he thought, I logged in as Jeremy Visser. And essentially, let me in. I said, well, who are you? Are you Jeremy Visser? I said, no. You end up having three Jews and one actual Aryan as opposed to four Kikes here. And they figured out it was me, of course, here. And they got to his Marty, Marty, Marty. Last week, News Kike was yapping something about how he wanted the debate between me and Visser. And Visser was saying the same stupid shit. And what I ended up doing was, I end up simply saying is that, tell you what, here, you get on my Tuesday night show, and I'll go ahead and treat you like the dirty Jew you are and have fun with you, and then I'll call up to the Pisser Possum Turds, and you can go ahead and treat me badly. And this, of course, didn't want to do that. Yesterday, Visser. I mean, you were in there. You went in and seen that Pastor M. Linstead was blocked the entire time, didn't you?
I think so, Martin. I'm troubled by it because I think you're right. I believe that's correct.
No. And I went ahead and called you and says, hey, do you notice that I'm being, you know, blocked here?
No one's screaming at you about all kinds of stuff, and he doesn't want to have it. Now, that's what it comes down to.
Well, no, he wants to go ahead, and what NewsKike will do is that NewsKike, like last year, what happens is that being a Jew, he'd go ahead and favor, Visser here. But when I first showed Visser looking like an obvious, I mean, there's no way that Visser's blue-eyed. And essentially, I've seen pictures of his brother.
If and when I ever go to see him, I will tell you what I see.
Yeah, why don't you go and take actual pictures of him?
If I can, I got to buy a camera. I lost my camera. That's another story.
Don't buy a camera. You know, I've already tried to tell you how to. Oh, you should have bought a $350 Toshiba instead of $1,100 Dell desktop. But what I would do is do like I do. Just buy a $14.95 flip phone at Walmart from U.S. Cellular, and then pay $40 for 30 days unlimited talk and text and. It's not much of a web browser, but you can actually go ahead and do some web browsing on this little $14.95 phone. And when it's brand new, I mean, essentially the battery lasts 4 or 5 hours, and it's the best deal I've seen.
Let's change the subject.
Okay.
I believe these programs should help each other. And I'd like to discuss a couple of things tonight. One's called the word equality, racism, and all the other ones.
Okay.
Treat all the rest of that crap.
But how in the world is there going to be, as I call it, unity? How is there going to be any unity between Eli James and Bill Fink and the Pisser Possum and me? Well, essentially, Fink and Eli James and Visser, they prefer to lie. Oh, he's a convicted child molester. I mean, they'll actually lie about that.
Whenever anyone makes that statement, they're destroying their own credibility.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, these people who show up on essentially, you know, Fink doesn't have hardly any listeners. Last time I checked, oh, he'd have about 7 or 8. Fink is pretty well lost the credibility match here. Eli James will end up having critters like Rebecca Mesh. And what you had last week was all these Mamsers wanting Visser to get rid of Oba Genderbender. But Visser isn't. So you have these characters, and every single one of them are fighting and backbiting against their fellow Jews. And the easiest way I have to explain the fight between Eli James and Fink is that Fink started it because as an Ashkenazi Jew, he thinks he's better than Eli James. So how are you going to have unity with all this hatred, this Genesis 3:15 hatred and the rest?
Well, you're not going to have unity.
Okay.
Identity has always been fractured to my knowledge.
Of course.
Well, for whatever reason, the Fink and James got into an argument, who the hell cares? That's my whole personal viewpoint.
Oh, I love it. I love it. But go on.
Let me discuss the word diversity. Now, I've seen some of these emails, but we hear about diversity all the time. The thing is, the average person has to have an answer to some of these people. You know, I assume some of your listeners are with the bullshit, or they're racist, they're bigots, and everything else. There are people need to have the command of English language to know what the hell to say when they're told.
Why?
If you're a racist, there are many answers. Yes, no, I don't know, thank you. Whatever it is. The best answer is come right back, well, what's wrong with being a racist, isn't everyone? I've probably pulled this in 150 people in life, and they have absolutely no idea what to do. Because they always think that when they're called a racist, all of a sudden you're gonna shrivel up and go in the corner and be quiet. And that's a vicious thing.
Well, that's the term racist doesn't really matter very much anymore because it's been overused to where someone like myself will say, yeah, but as a matter of fact, I am a white supremacist. I do believe, you know, whites are supreme. And even Uyghurs think that whites are supreme, but they're such chicken shits.
Well, but, either you but, believe in supremacy or believe in equality. Those are the only two possibilities. And but the first point I want to make tonight, Sphere listeners, is that if they're confronted with this racism crap, what's wrong with being a racist? That's the best answer. You can always come back with God was a racist. He was the first and the last and only racist. You can come back with, well, everyone's a racist, aren't you?
Oh, you could. Right. Okay.
That's the first technique. Another technique we hear about is diversity. You know, some of these colleges.
Nobody really wants to live in diversity except niggers who are running away from other niggers. They want diversity. They want to flood the higher quality niggers want to be the first ones to follow after white people when they leave. You end up having, you know, places like Detroit and Birmingham and the rest, and once it becomes pretty well 95% nigger, all it is just niggers shooting one another and the rest. They have to follow whites, you know, same way with beaners. And as a result, as you have fewer and fewer actual white people left, you know, paying into this sort of thing, I sort of think that the days of yapping about how diversity is a good thing are pretty well behind us.
Diversity is horseshit. There are several answers to diversity. The first answer is that, well, we're going to put sand in motor oil, water in gasoline, urine in drinking water, feces in food, etc. Another thing, I mean, the college where I go to, they push this both diversity horseshit. Of course, they've got a goddamn Iranian who's now the president of the college, and they're the big bad undersecretary of board of trustees that is a Jew. So we can see what's going on. But the bottom line is, well, if we're going to have real diversity with the college I went to, we're going to have murderers, we're going to have perverts, sexual characters, people with AIDS, all kinds of stuff. You want to have real diversity? That's my idea of real diversity. Morons, people don't speak English. This is the diversity stuff has got to be blown up. It's absolute nonsense. There's no reason for diversity. When people say we have a diverse student body, so what's so good about that? You must ask. People need to ask these type of questions. I mean, everyone is supposed to believe in equality and everything else. There is no such thing as equality in this world. It's not a blatant lie. There's not fingerprints, people, soils, trees, elements, ions, snowflakes, you name it, races or anything else. Nothing is equal, not even in mathematics. Because if I say 4 equals 4, the left 4 is in a different position from the right 4, and location is a characteristic of numbers. Now, I took a lot of these concepts and emailed about 60 of my classmates who all studied either physics or engineering or chemistry. No one came back with a comeback answer. They had never thought of it that way. My attitude is because you and I and others know about the identity truth. We realize the laws of science and math have got to are subsets of Yahweh's laws. So when they come up with this diversity horseshit, we know it's a bunch of crap because Yahweh.
Well, they know it's a bunch of crap. If they really like diversity so much, why aren't they moving into Niggertown? Why aren't they going ahead and moving in with the Beaners?
Well,
I mean, they don't really believe this horseshit.
Look, deep down inside, Russ, all your buddies from engineering school, like that one that was in you undergraduate and he wrote you back, Larry or whatever. I mean, deep down inside, Larry is just as racist as any other white man. He's just too chicken shit to admit it. I mean, he wants to sing Kumbaya and hold hands with all the nigger spicks, Jews, and mongrels, and pretend like he can get along with them. But hey, I bet you if Larry is married and has kids, he's not married to a nigger or goop or spick one, is he?
Okay. Who's this?
Oh, this Larry. Person you're talking with here.
Your buddy Larry from the school. That guy you went to undergraduate school that said that he was disappointed and sad that you were still a racist. Remember, you sent me the email.
That was Larry Grunberger. He was the person that.
Okay.
Nice guy, Ron. He's a kike Jew. Look.
Oh, he's a kike Jew?
He should have
asked him where. Well, you should. I, yeah, if it meant me, I'd have just simply asked him where Mo and Curly were at here, you know, and Mike Delaney. I mean,
help themselves. They're determined to help by grace. They can't help themselves.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty well what we say when dual seed line Chris Eddetti. Yesterday, I had two Mormons. One was a Nordic Quaker from Idaho, and the other was, he looked like a Guido from Utah. You know what I mean? And since I talked to them, and they were trying to talk me about the pre, you know, they were trying to go ahead and go in there to and talk about pre-existence and all this other good, happy horse shit. And I was pretty well asking if Mittens was a higher god than Ann Romney, and, you know, where does old Herman Cain fit in? Because Mittens comes back as a white wigger. Ann Romney comes back as a wigger female. And poor old Herman Cain comes back as a nigger here. So essentially, on earth as it is in heaven here, you know what I mean?
You should have asked him about Pale Ale and the endowment service, but that's a long story. They wouldn't know.
I didn't know anything about that here. They were trying to prove the Book of Mormon was true by quoting from the Book of Mormon, which was an interesting sort of stupid trick. They asked about continued revelation, and I said, well, way back in 1830, Joseph Smith said polygamy is wonderful, and then 50 years later, when the Mormon Church is having a hard time, all of a sudden they come up with polygamy is bad. You'll be disfellowshipped if you, kicked out if you use,
right,
you know, if you go ahead and are a polygamist here anymore. Well, you have ones who believe that essentially Yahweh did not change, Creator God did not change.
Right.
Joseph Smith was the prophet here, not whoever had this latest continuing revelation. I say it used to be that non-whites could not be part of the Abrahamic covenant. So you guys had another continuing revelation, and in 1979 you allowed the first non-whites to become Abrahamic covenant Mormons.
Right.
And then, you know, I said, I have heard that, you know, the Mormon Church has a whole bunch of, you know, shares of Coca-Cola stock here. So when are you going to have a continued revelation that the caffeine in Coke is wonderful and life-enhancing, but Pepsi is bad? You know what I mean? When are you going to have that revelation here? I mean, essentially, when you talk about continued revelation, you're talking about some man claiming to be an authority that says that now God doesn't like this and God doesn't like that. So, you know, what is this continuing revelation? I mean, essentially, it just depends on who is in power at the moment.
The Mormon Church is an absolute dictatorship. One man rules, and however the hell the wind, it's not what Joseph Smith said or all the other prophets of the church said. It's what this guy said the last 15 minutes. That's
yeah.
The only thing that counts.
Yeah. So, essentially, I had a whole bunch of fun with them. I talked to them about 45 minutes, and then, essentially, I ran them off. They were headed toward my brother's house. The foot of the hill, I said, you probably do best not to mention my name, although he'll probably bring it up. But essentially, my brother is just, he's a solipsist here. He already has a religion. It's the First Church of Pighook here, and his hippo heifer here, why, she's just a total bitch here. But if you want to go ahead and try to convert him to Mormonism, have at it. So they pretty well left here. But no, there's not going to be any unity in the bowel movement. There's not any unity anywhere. And I think that what we need, I was listening to Harold Covington's last podcast, and I think what we need to understand is that there is no, as long as we sort of think that we are going to save stupid Whiggers, much less the Beaners, the Jews, and the rest, we're not going to get anywhere. I mean, tomorrow will be 8 years that I got falsely arrested. And what I sort of think I need to go ahead and write is about, about the nature of that false arrest and point out that in order for the white race to prevail, you not only have to go ahead and kill the niggers and the Jews, you have to kill these Quaker traitors. And Harold Covington, he didn't quite put that way, but he pointed out on last night's podcast that it wasn't even a nigger problem, it wasn't a gook problem, it wasn't a beaner problem, it wasn't even a Jew problem, it was a white race traitor problem. He didn't use the word Quaker problem, you know, but that's what it is. And in order, you know, in order for things to change, Quakers need to die of their diversity horse shit. They need to die of all the kike shit that they've ingested. They need to be held responsible.
Well, Yahweh will hold them all responsible someday.
Yes, but we as people...
Think of the comedy of people who may be new to identity. One of the reasons we have no respect for niggers is they're animals. They are literally beast. In Genesis 1:25, beast animals of the field.
Well, yeah.
There are only two groups of people in the world. There are the house of Israel and everybody else. It's just that simple.
Well, that's what Fink says. I sort of believe that it's not so much that I hate niggers, it's just they do not belong in white areas. They have their place. They have their place in sub-Saharan Africa. They, Dukes have their place in China. They have their, essentially you have all these people who are put in their bounds. Essentially the entire portion of the Bible, at least from a dual seed line Christian identity view, is that there is enmity between two seed lines. One which is the spawn of Satan, the Jews, and the other which is the good seed line, or the house of Adam. And I told these Mormons that, and I did point out is that how the early Joseph Smith church used to believe that the curse of Cain was a dark skin.
You asked about Genesis 3:15. Why is Genesis 3:15 not in the endowment service? I have hammered Mormons for years in this. Genesis 3:15 is word for word identical to Moses 4:21. In the endowment service, for whatever reason, Joseph Smith pulled this out of the endowment service that is not in there. You hit them with that stuff, they won't know what to say. In the Mormon endowment service, you go on the internet, look up the endowment service. There's a little section there about the meeting in the Garden of Eden. But that Genesis 3:15 is not there for some reason. I don't know why.
Okay. Well, I mean, pretty much the original Mormonism believed that the curse of Cain was being given a dark skin. So essentially the Lamanites and Lemuelites were given a dark skin because they were sinful, and the good Nephites and I guess Samites, I went ahead and pointed out this, that I did at the age of 12 read the Book of Mormon because my grandmother wanted me to, and I read it. And,
hey, Russ. Yes. Hey, yes. Russ, did you used to be a Mormon? Russ, didn't you tell me that you used to be a member of the Mormon Church, Russ?
That's true. It was the biggest mistake of my entire life.
Okay, I went to one Mormon service. Is it true or not? Because this is what the two guys on bicycles that taught me the six lessons, and the seventh lesson was to get baptized, and I went to one service, and I never went back. They told me they believe in the Bible they said that they believe in the Bible and the Book of Mormon both, but when I went into their service, they never once opened the Bible. They all read from the Book of Mormon, and basically this is what they told me. They said that the Bible was the original plan of God. They don't even say Yahweh, but that somehow it didn't work out, and so the new plan is the Book of Mormon because they say all the prophecies that, like in the New Testament and everything, it didn't work out, and so now the new improved plan is the Book of Mormon. Now, that's what they told me. Is that true?
To my knowledge, the pitch is that the two sticks are the Bible and the Book of Mormon. Well, I think what the two sticks are, but that's their pitch. Look, the church is bullshit.
But they almost never quote from the Bible. It's almost always the Book of Mormon.
True.
I mean,
or the quote from what one of the prophets said, which is a bunch of nonsense. Look, the internet is eating up the hell out of the Mormon Church. There are several websites out there where they expose them repeatedly, and in fact, I believe the Mormon Church has stalled. I don't know how many people allegedly told me in people that they're a bunch of number counters, like the Baptist Church.
Well,
or somebody else.
Generally, it used to be 15, 20 years ago, Mormon missionaries were invariably white. Yesterday, one of them was essentially he looked like Clifton Emhyser as a young man. He was a Guido of some sort or another.
Well,
what you end up having is a bunch of Mexicans who are quote Lamanites, and therefore, they have one of the jokes I have is that Jesus Christ.
Martin, let me talk a second. It's a way for them to come and get visas and come to the United States and try and get citizenship. Who else can do? The Mormon Church has sold their souls.
Oh, yeah.
And they're whores, they're financial deals. Look, it was in 1978 when that revelation came out. I remember clear as a bell on a Saturday morning in newspapers. You cannot have any organization in the United States, not IBM, not GE, not the Mormon Church, not the United States government, or anything else. You start bringing niggers and muds into an organization, it will collapse. It is inevitable. Yahweh will not protect it. The infighting, the equal opportunity laws, all the rest of the stuff will just contribute to the decline of these organizations. Let me tell you my story. I used to work for IBM back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, IBM was number one. They were the largest in sales and in profits in the world. They were a bunch of arrogant. They were New York arrogant characters. In any event, the other day I checked, IBM is now 31st in the world. They were big on this equal opportunity. They did a lot of stupid things, and all this crap will just get up with them. You don't think they can bring niggers and Mexicans into a Mormon church, into a so-called first-class, into a Western world society, and not be antagonism and all kinds of problems? The Mormon Church is on its way out. It's just a matter of time. There are two good websites, one called exmormon.com, and the other is called UTLN.
Well, that's why all the churches, I mean, they're not dual seed line. Even Worldwide Church of God, which was one seed line, and they thought the Jews were tribe of Judah and they're cousins or brothers, all the churches are wrong. Unless you're dual seed line, then you're totally off base and you're not teaching the scriptures. I mean, you know, a little truth is not any good. Because if you say basically we all come from Adam and the flood was worldwide and we're all one big happy family and some, you know, I mean, that's just a bunch of bullshit.
Well,
identity was the first religion to me that actually made sense.
Well, that's why, in my case, I come up through the Worldwide Church of God. R.D. Bradshaw, the real one, he came up to the Worldwide Church guy. Essentially, he had this. He went ahead and posted it on my webpage. I posted your last letter onto my forum. But there's not going to be any unity. Just like 2 years ago, John Britton said, "Why are you bothering, Martin? The above-ground church just walled the wall, Jews and Mamzers. Why do you bother?" And pretty well what John has done, and, you know, essentially I went ahead and, you know, you don't need to tell Visser too much, but essentially Visser and Obagenderbender were coming up to where essentially it was like that beaner who went ahead and stole those three girls. Was that supposedly I had old John Britton chained up, you know, along with Mona Montgomery in my crawl space in my hovel. You know what I mean? It was ridiculous crap. I mean, essentially, John Britton got pretty well screwed by Jeremy Visser and his Mamzer friend, Brian Wright, and, you know, pretty well further screwed by Brian Rio. And for all practical purposes, he is, you know, he doesn't frequent forums. He does not frequent talk show shows. He does not frequent Facebook. You know, I remember when he pulled himself off of Facebook. Him and his entire family, daughters that he has any control over. And essentially, he's just simply gotten off the internet as far as he can possible, as far as he can possibly. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. His wife is a Mormon, apparently.
What happens, he has his wife and he has his girls attend the Mormon church. And I sort of partly agree with that because most of the time women and Christian identity don't work too good because, you know, for every pilgrim, you know, this woman called Pilgrim, who I thought was a white mantis, she said she was a woman, you'll end up having characters like Clunt Downey and Maggie Butts and the rest, and they come in and they want to tell white men what to do. And in the case of Clunt Downey, I think she is white, but she's a complete, you know, she's a complete whore. You know what I mean? And she runs this idiot Mark Downey, who's essentially going ass to mouth with Fink right now. Mark Downey doesn't have any gratitude. David Duke was begging for money, and essentially pretty well quite a few people turned on old David Duck. They're not sending him any money. You know what I mean?
This guy Kamen is correct. The Japanese are part of the beast world. the niggers, the beasts, the sticks, they're all beasts.
Well, the thing is, I've been told that Japheth went to like Russia and Eastern Europe, and he mixed with the Gook and the Jew, and that's why a lot of your Japheth are basically mongrelized. And supposedly Bob Jones and Jim Wickstrom used to teach that some of the tribe of Japheth mixed their seed with the Chinese Gook, and that's where the Japanese come from. That's why the Japanese have white blood, and the same thing for the Koreans. The Koreans and the Japanese are not pure Gook. They have white blood in them. They're mongrel mixed. And supposedly Japheth is,
You have to understand is that people like Lothar Stoddard and a number of them thought the Anglo-Saxon world was the imperious sons of Japheth. And in many cases, the intellectuals thought that essentially the Germans and the Anglo-Saxons, the rest, were actually descended from Japheth because they were Gentiles, which meant white nations, which were non-Semitic or Shemitic. And essentially, they used to think that essentially Anglo-Saxons were Japhethites here. And that was the belief of the Germans and the intellectuals, except for the British Israelite believers. And if you look at it, the first one, modern one, who claimed that, that we were the Israelites of the House of Israel was a character who around 1790 wrote a book about that, and he was put in the nut house by George III when George III wasn't in the nut house. George III spent quite a bit of time in the nut house. George III was pretty nutty.
A regent also applied to, he was our co-king.
Yeah, well, he had a son, George IV. Essentially, George IV was a little fat boy who essentially was interested only in pussy. You know what I mean? I don't know if you ever seen Stuart Granger in Bo Brummel, and they had Peter Ustinov playing George IV. And essentially, George IV was, pretty well a wastrel, just like Edward the, fifth or fourth was somewhat of a wastrel because essentially he was under his mom, Queen Victoria's thumb for such a long time. And when she finally croaked off here, all he was interested in was getting pussy. Well, so was the same George IV. I mean, George III was actually the first really English king because George I barely knew any English. George II, his first language was German. George III was the first English Georgian whose English was the first language, but George III spoke German. You know what I mean? So he was from Hanover.
To my knowledge, I've heard that George III couldn't speak English either. I don't know, Bob.
No, George III was the first who could speak it pretty good. George I could not speak it hardly at all. George II couldn't speak it very well. George III was actually raised in England. He could speak German, but essentially spoke English better. But George III was pretty well somewhat of a tyrant and nutty. You know what I mean? And he spent some time locked up in the nut house. But anyway, then you end up having this guy. And that's what I was trying to tell these Mormons. I was saying is that when Joseph Smith came up with, I think Joseph Smith made it all up. And I read a book to where most people think is that, yes, Joseph Smith made it up. There was no gold plates. He just simply made it all up. And it makes him be like...
If that was gold plates, they would be in some vault in Salt Lake City in a museum or something. I think, it was just a crock of shit that he made it up for.
I pointed out that Louis L'Amour, for the modern one, but Thomas Jefferson, a number of the founding felons believed that there was a race war in North America, most certainly around Kentucky, in Sackett's Land. Essentially, they believed the reason Kentucky was a dark and bloody ground because that was the last place where essentially the remaining whites were overwhelmed by the, quote, Indians. And I explained to them the Sulterian hypothesis to where around 20,000 B.C., these Cro-Magnon people from France migrated from, you know, Ice Age France to Ice Age America, following in boats these seals and whales and essentially getting food from the sea, and that's how they came to America. And there was a thing on the Hitler Channel or the Discovery Channel called Ice Age Columbus, and I think they took it down. But in many cases, they seen that these Mandan Indians, you know, they were Arikara who lived in the Dakotas. They were, you know, these Cherokee, a number of them, you had gray-eyed and lighter-skinned Cherokee. Sort of like Visser. I mean, Visser's full-blood brother looks like a mongrel. I mean, he looks like a beaner, but Visser looks like a, you know, a Mamser of some sort or another. You know what I mean? And he may lie that he's blue-eyed, but he's not. You know what I mean? And I was trying to go ahead and tell these Mormons a number of things here to, you know, I point out is that, you know, Joseph Smith believed that there was a race war. But I asked him the question, if essentially the North American continent had the Nephites and the South American continent had the Lamanites, you know, they did another, you know, color change after Jesus Christ came to the New World. How come most of the big rulers are in, you know, Indian country, and essentially in North America, there's hardly any, you know, there's nothing like, you know, the Aztecs, the Toltecs, the Mayans, the Incas had. You know what I mean?
The big what are in Indian country?
Well, the big monuments here, like the Mayans, the Toltecs, the Aztecs, the Incas, they were the ones who created the great public works here, the great ziggurats, the great, you know, mounds and stuff like that, essentially the North American continent. Essentially, the Book of Mormon holds that around 400 A.D., the very last of the generals of the Nephites was Mormoni. You know what I mean? Or Mormoni, or whatever you, however you pronounce them.
Yeah, Moroni.
What?
And the prophet.
Okay. And you have, they're playing, this is around, they're playing a repeat of the tornado, something like that, which occurred. I mean, it's coming up. But in any case, you know, pretty well I was trying to go ahead and explain is that some of what the Mormons think are, you know, I mean, Joseph Smith did believe in a number of things which were common. And essentially, you know, Mormonism and Christian identity, they both pretty well, at least in the American standard, they both came out about, you know, in the 1830s, 1840s, 1850s. You know what I mean?
Wasn't there some guy named Wilson who put identity
together? Wilson, yeah. Wilson came up with it. And, you know, he went ahead and he wrote more of it in 1840. You know what I mean? I think his name was Wilson. I forget what his name was here. You had Mary Baker Eddy. Eddy was Christian Scientist. She believed in this British Israelitism, but she changed it quite a bit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Seventh-day Adventists, they believed in Christian identity of a sort as followed by Britain. You know what I mean? But it was Americanized.
Well, I mean, a lot of your Whigger. Churches that I've talked to that believe in British Israel, they believe not only that the Jews are Judah and that the white race or the Eastern or the Western Europeans are the 10 lost tribes, but they believe all the mongrels and black gook or nigger or whatever that live in America are somehow also Israel too. I mean, somehow that just being born in America makes you an Israelite. That's bullshit.
Well, there's crews like Visser. I don't know. Visser is nowhere near blue-eyed here. I mean, I don't know if you've seen pictures of Visser. These are pictures of Visser from Visser's own YouTube channel. He used to have a bunch of, you know, 2008 videos of him at the Ukoi Feast of Tabernacles in 2008. He took them all down because he looked like he was a total meth head. in 2008. He took down those videos because it showed his skull. He looked like a meth head. And from what I gather, he was taking quite a bit of meth in 2008 and 2009. You know what I mean?
Really?
Oh, yeah. Pretty well. You got to understand, this is just simply a criminal, and he disappears. He goes ahead, and he just out and out disappears.
Every so often.
A
kid, somebody disappear all the time.
Well, what happens is that his wife, like in 2010, he disappeared four times in 2010. The first time is that in April he said that Pastor Visser is dead. You killed him. You didn't send enough money. So he disappeared for 4 weeks and a day. Then he showed back up. But he took down his oldest forum, which was 5 years old. And he's disappeared in 2006. He's disappeared in 2007. I don't know about 2008. 2009, he disappeared because his wife ran up to Washington with a Roman Catholic. So he disappeared four times in 2010, but the biggest one was he went running after his wife, and supposedly he got in trouble in Washington State, so he ran back to Brooks, Georgia, and essentially they threw him in jail for stalking his wife and his mother-in-law, and he was in jail the last 2 weeks of August up till September 9th, and then he took down, on September 10th, he took down his forum, his webpage, his Facebook page, and you know that picture that I have, I call the island Dr. Pissarro, where he's looking all guilty, he's looking all tormented, he has his oldest daughter grabbing around his leg and says, nothing without you. He went ahead and took down everything, and the best explanation I've seen is that he had to essentially wait for Google to not, find it out. He took down posts of StumbleIn. He took posts, he got Fink to take down his stuff at Finkelschini's gonorrhea forum. He essentially on Aryan Front, he changed it to Elmer's glue works best. And he couldn't altogether do that on StumbleIn because he had a number of posts in my subforum. And essentially all I had to do was just simply, I was a moderator there, I put them back here. Some of them didn't even bother because he knew dang well what they were here. So he got to where he showed a picture of him looking like Ted Kaczynski, and he changed his avatar on StumbleIn to Cherokee Visser, redder than Adam, redder. That's one of the dodges he does is that he is able to blush because he's a redskin. You know what I mean? He's a redskin, therefore he's able to, quote, blush because essentially he's red all the time. You know what I mean? And then he claimed that I had changed something, and the FBI asked him a question about whether or not he was planning to bomb things. And essentially, here's Visser running around dressed like that sketch of the Unabomber, and essentially he wants to blame me for it. And he did blame me for it. He said I was an FBI spy. And I said, well, how come I ain't arrested then if you think that I'm conspiring with you to blow up stuff here? You know what I mean? Visser, you're just simply a liar. And that's all Visser is. I mean, he's just a liar. John Britton is not, John Britton and Mona Montgomery has not chained up in the, if I had a crawl space in my hovel, they're not, well, I do have a crawl space underneath my hovel, but they're not, Mona Montgomery and John Britton are not chained up there. You know what I mean? Nobody's chained up there, not even Poopy Dog.
You made that statement. I wonder if it was a joke or something.
No, it's pretty well. It's just pretty, all they can do is lie. You know what I mean?
Anyway.
So,
okay.
Anyway.
You know what? Hey, listen, Rod, if you want to go visit Visser, basically go down there and take some pictures of you, Visser, and the family, and then basically you can draw your own conclusions. I'm not going to tell you, just because me and Martin don't think somebody is pure or white, if you want to prove it for yourself, I'm not going to, I mean, basically, it's your opinion,
Okay.
I haven't got my Twit card yet. I don't want the things to show up. I may never go down there. If I can get a job somewhere else, I don't need a Twit card. I won't take the other job somewhere else.
Oh, okay. Well, if you get a chance, I mean, the cheapest, you know, just like I'm trying to tell you, the cheapest way to buy a phone.
No, they got
for a computer.
$40 for an ordinary camera. My wife and I went into Best Buy the other day.
Yeah, you can. I just simply buy a $14.95 U.S. Cellular Samsung flip phone, and then I buy a $43.09 for 30-day program. I mean, that's the phone I use here. I'm using my Beener phone. It's cheaper than the same U.S. Cellular plan that Roxy got for 65 minutes. You know what I mean? It's got unlimited talk, and it has a little camera in there. And so you can go ahead and take pictures of it and then set to your email account and download wherever you want, okay?
I understand.
You might want to go ahead and take a picture, but I already know that this is not blue-eyed and his kids are not blue-eyed. They're just little cork-eyed mamsers.
Looks like.
Huh?
I don't think he's six foot five. I mean, he's not the badass he's claiming to whip everybody's ass and, you know, be such a badass. I mean, Russ, you're a pretty big guy. I guarantee you, you're a lot bigger than Visser. I guarantee you.
6'2". So I don't know how.
But you're a real 6'2". I mean, and you're not a small man here. And people take a picture of me. I mean, I see people who, you know, usually what happens, people claim to be an inch or two taller than what they are. Once you get, you know, my brother, he's 6'3.5", and he is what, at least three, you know. Well, when we a month ago when we were going up there, he called himself 357 Magnum because I hit that hard, like Dirty Harry. I said, 357 Fagnum. He said, Magnum. I said, Fagnum. And then I said, by the way, Dirty Harry used a 44, so he claimed to weigh 440 pounds now. And, you know, he sort of dropped the subject. So, but, you know, my brother, he's just freaking huge. I mean, you know, once you get, what, 6'3" or something like that here, over 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", I mean, you know, much less 6'7" or something like that here. Like, you had this one character in Silver Dollar City that works there. I mean, once you end up having serious height over everybody else, I mean, essentially, you look huge, and everybody else looks, you know, the average height is what, 5'9", 5'10", you know what I mean, among white people?
Yeah,
and essentially, if you're 6'2", you're 4 inches taller, and essentially, you see things in proportion, you know what I mean? Visser is no 6'5", you know what I mean?
Martin, I don't know. All I know is what he told me. I've never been.
Well, yeah, but I've seen Visser on his YouTube, you know, on his YouTube videos. I mean, he used to have them from the Ukoi Feast of Tabernacles.
Yeah.
He took them down because he looked like he was hitting the meth. You know what I mean? He took them down. You know, I have the one from Pete Peters, February 2010. He looks like a cork-eyed, hooked-nosed, reptilian-eyed, Jew Mamzer. I mean, Visser, you know, I have pictures of Visser that Visser puts out as his YouTube videos. And then you go ahead and you hear his voice. I mean, this is not no hoax that Visser is able to create. You understand what I'm saying?
Anyway, let me make one other comment here.
Sure.
About Obama. Hmm? We have mongrels in this world. All hybrids are inferior.
Mm-hmm.
Hybrid corn, you know, they used to say hybrid corn is hybrid vigor. All hybrids, I don't care if they're people, trees, flowers, corn, or what else, are inferior because they tend to breed out. It's the way Yahweh is cleansing the earth. Somewhere it says, and anything he hasn't planted will be written out. I don't know exactly what the phrase is.
Matthew 15, verse 13.
And Obama is a hybrid, mongrel, kike, nigger. He is the bottom of the barrel, utter trash. And this country is not just going to be hammered because they put a nigger in office, which is a violation of Deuteronomy 17:15, because they put a hybrid mongrel in the office. At least the niggers can say, well, what they were created was good. The end of Genesis, it says everything created was good. They can use an argument. But what Obama is not good. He's utterly evil. Everything about him is evil. Can you imagine telling these kids at Ohio State the other day that not to worry about the government, they have a future, blah, 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 blah? They will, those young people will have the rest of their lives to realize they were lied to, they were deceived. You know, I drive.
Yeah, but they want there to be deceived. They want there to pretend they're going to get a wonderful job, and they're not. I mean, all they're going to get is a bunch of debt that they can't discharge. I mean, essentially, they're going there and they're getting their dick pulled, and I think some of them know it. But essentially, what are they going to do? They've been put on to the let's not grow up circuit. There's no job for them to have. Most of them don't have enough brains to actually become a good machinist or a good plumber or a good carpenter or anything else.
You know, today I was up there at Chapel Hill, where the University of North Carolina is. You see all these stickers, and not all of them. You see a number of stickers of Obama. And almost always when you see an Obama sticker in a car, it's a woman, with few exceptions. It's only
yeah.
woman driving.
Some stupid
car,
yeah.
How can these white bitches be so stupid? How can they be so
I can't hear anything. Martin, basically Russ was talking, and then all of a sudden I couldn't hear Russ. I thought it was my phone, and Martin's phone must have died. So I'm sorry, folks. Basically, Martin, the home phone, I guess, Martin and Russ are still connected, but the cell phone, his beaner phone, I didn't even hear a beep. Normally, Martin gets 3 or 4 beeps, so he's going to have to call back using Roxy's cell phone. Anyway, hey, you're wrapping it up. What does that mean? You're getting your phone fixed? Okay. I guess Martin's going to be trying to call back in. We're just waiting on Martin, folks. Anyway, this is basically I don't even know what was Russ Martin talking about anyway. Russ is talking about hybrids and everything. Well, I mean, basically, most of your blacks in America are mixed. They're not even pure black. And it's kind of a disgrace for the pure blacks in Africa and the very few pure blacks in America to lump them in with all the high yellow blacks and say they're all the black race just because Obama, he looks whiter than he does black. I mean, he obviously has black in him. But he's probably got more Rothschild serpent seed Jew in him than he does African. And we don't even know if who his real father is, if it was Marshall Davis, the high yellow communist black, or if it was that other guy from Africa. I mean, basically, that Jew skank that was his mom was screwing everything left and right. And a lot of people think Marshall Davis, the communist and the pornography photographer that was taking pictures of his mom and screwing her, that's Obama's real father because he looks more like Marshall Davis than he does. Hold on. We got Russ and Martin back, I think.
For your
Russ.
They call the second.
Okay.
They have what's called the second token of the Melchizedek priesthood, and I'll tell you right now, it's called health in the navel, marrow in the bone, strength in the loins and sinews. Power and the priesthood be upon me and upon all my posterity through all generation of time and through all eternity. That is the second token of the Melchizedek priesthood. I'm glad this show is being recorded so people can go back and hear it. I'll say it one more time. Health in the navel, marrow in the bone, strength in the loins and sinews. Power and the priesthood be upon me and upon all my posterity through all generations of time and through all eternity. You mentioned that to those Mormon missionaries that they won't know what to say because you're right smack dab in the middle of that endowment service.
In their little secret, well, to be honest with you, I never had any interest in becoming a Mormon.
Oh,
I mean,
they've got to. Once they know that other people know this stuff, look, the Mormon Church is. It's a satanic organization. See, they're told that they're the like the Book of Mormon, that they were the box made without hands and it'll cover the earth. The Mormon Church is not going to cover the earth. It is cracking up. There are too many
people. Well, yeah, it's cracking up. You have more and more mongrels. I mean, you know, in it. I mean, it's just like anything else, which ends up having niggers. Niggers, you know, niggers and beaners and all these other critters that come in, they're not making things better. You know, the more mud you have, I mean, that's why Zog Babylon is falling apart, because there isn't any more white people to run things, and the white people who are left are just stupid wiggers. You know what I mean? They're not able to. If a wigger is not even able to take care of himself, he's not able to create a surplus. During this last month or so, with all the bombings by all these Chechens that they brought in to Boston, and essentially nobody has any idea. Most people think it's just a Jew Mossad problem, but here is Obongo. We're all in this together. No, nigger. I am not in this together. I mean, screw you, nigger.
We'll never in eternity of time be in with Obama together.
Yeah, we're not in this together, nigger. It's not my job to pay for all the niggers and muds and the rest of, you know, of the rest here. I mean, generally, my mission is telling wiggers to essentially suck up whatever the hell you can from Zog while you can, but don't put anything in. Don't go ahead and feed the monster. Let the monster essentially, you know, go the way it is going. Essentially, all Zog Babylon is able to do nowadays is just print money. That's all it can do. Nobody's really buying these things. The chinks ain't buying this shit. The chinks ain't been buying anything since, what, for 4 years now.
Well,
you know?
These niggas are having a hard time right now. Look, I live in eastern North Carolina. I'm surrounded by them. Not surrounded, but there are a lot of them. And they're having a hard time. And I rub it in their face. I said, man, things are, you know, I told this one nigger who was a big Obama supporter the other day. He said, your children have got no future under Obama. And he gave me a funny, dirty look because I know they're having a hard time. You go to grocery stores, their stores are half empty and stuff like that. I mean, people don't have money. And, hey, what can I do about it?
Russ, I'm glad you brought that up, because when it comes down to it, we never should have had an integrated society. We never should have had slaves. We never should have had the strangers in any white country, even especially America. But the thing is, when it comes down to it, the niggers, they were treated better under Jim Crow laws and segregation. And to even a lesser extent, in some ways, they had it better off under slavery. At least they weren't starving to death. They weren't stabbing and killing each other. But under Jim Crow and segregation, they had it better than they do now. I mean, when they went to all-black schools, they actually did better because they were among their own kind. I mean, basically, integration has destroyed any kind of culture that the pure Negro had, and now all they are is mixed up and just mongrels and basically
culture. On the TV tonight, there's a big deal in Wilcox County with these proms crap. Kelly Raber lives down in Wilcox County, Abbeville, Rochelle, and stuff like that. I've been down it many times. And the idea, if I had a daughter or even a son and they wanted to go to a white prom, I'd tell them, don't come back after the prom. I want nothing to do with you. And I am serious. I would have nothing to do with my children if either of them wanted to get involved with a mud. Absolutely none.
Yeah, well, you know, this is a place where they have white problems, you know what I mean? And you have all the niggers and Jews bitching and pissing and moaning about white only problems, you know what I mean?
Southern Georgia is a poor, poor area, believe me. You know, in the summertime, here in North Carolina, it's hot in the summertime, but by 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, it cools down. You can go out there 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, it's still hot as hell. It's just a different world. I could not live down there in Southern Georgia, believe me.
Well, Visser is in the black belt, you know what I mean? He's big buddies with the Rastas. They provide him plenty of smoking dope here.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll let you go here. If
Thanks.
You get a chance, take a picture.
Okay.
Take a picture of Visser.
Wait.
And I already know you're going to find out that Visser ain't white, you know what I mean?
These Mongols are genetically inferior. As these plagues come down the road, and I don't know what plagues are coming down the road, Yahweh runs the show, these Mongols will be disproportionately killed off from the plagues because they are genetically inferior. You don't hardly ever see a colored man in the South who is 60 or older. They have simply died off. A lot of them is violence. Diabetes is eating them out of house and home. They're eating pig left and right, which is a damn poison. We all know that the poison for them is for me and you and everyone else. And they're simply dying off. You know, I live on a farm, and we have well water. Okay, all my neighbors have all drinking the city water, and it's filled with chlorine and stuff like that. These niggers are eating this, drinking this filthy stuff. No wonder they're dying. What do I care?
Okay. All righty. Well, I'll let you go then, Russ, okay?
I'll see you.
All right, folks. We're going to go ahead and take about a 2 or 3 minute break. And, hey, Logan, could you...
Do I need to call Gary?
Go ahead and call Gary. And pretty well, it's past 10:30.
Don't you hang up in the chat room. I'm
going to
go ahead and hang up, and I'll call Gary.
Why don't you go ahead and call Gary? All right, folks, about a 3 or 4 or 5 minute break, and we will be back. Hail Victory. Hello.
Hello, Martin. This is Gary.
All righty. Hello. Hello, Gary. Logan was supposed to call you. Russ usually is on for only about a half hour of that, but he was on a little bit longer tonight. In case we were talking about the pisser possum and all this sort of thing here, pretty well, tonight's show is about how unity is impossible within the bowel movement and within Christian identity. And the reason it's impossible is that, especially within Christian identity, is you have so many Jews like Eli James and Fink and Dan Johns and Jeremy Visser all pretend to be Christian identity, and they're not even white in many cases, and some of them essentially are overt Jews. And here they are. They scream about Jews, 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 but they don't have any actual teaching other than screaming about Jews. In the case of the Book of Jasher, pretty well me and Logan have been comparing it, anchoring it, with the Book of Genesis. And tomorrow night, we will... Well, essentially what we'll do is we will we'll go ahead and finish up the last book of Genesis. That's what we'll start out with, and then we will get to essentially Exodus. And we covered, Genesis 49, to where essentially Jacob Israel blesses all his children, but some of these blessings are almost like a sort of curse, because in the case of Simeon and Levi, he told them that they would be scattered among the rest of their brethren. And that's what happened with Simeon. They tried to get around Simeon being scattered by putting him on the extreme southern end around Beersheba underneath his brother Judah. But essentially, what ended up happening is that Simeon was pretty well cut off, and Simeon was scattered. The Levites, because they had the religious training, and thus they did not have any actual property of their own except for three cities, each on each side of the Jordan, on the West Bank and the East Bank of the Jordan. Essentially, they also were scattered among the Israelites as well. And essentially, some of these blessings were sort of double-sided blessing, but that's what we went ahead and covered. And unlike Eli James and the fat retard Greg Howard, I've seen a picture of him last week, and he's a total fat, idiotic retard. But Eli James knew about Fink's past criminal history. They knew that he was in prison. And I looked at the video of Greg Howard and Fink. And you look from the side here, Fink, from the front, Fink has a big old nigger nose, but you look from the side, Fink's nose is actually hooked. He looks like a Jew from the side profile. You know what I mean? You can see sort of like the letter 6 about what his nose looks like. And I just noticed that today. In any case, in white nationalism, you had a whitenations.com, and they're split off of VNNF, and they're already banning people. I logged in, and essentially I got, deregistered. Not that it mattered. I was using my Tor. I was using the Tor browser. I'm still not able to actually get on because I called my internet service provider, and they first tried to tell me I had a dynamic, internet. Internet protocol number, and then later on they admitted that, no, I had a static internet protocol number, but I'm going to have to either change modems or I'm going to have to go ahead and talk to the actual tech support people during business hours on a weekday in order to change my static IP number. So, any case, that's, pretty well the size of it, but here's Visser doing this sort of thing. And you have all these characters who are essentially, they're Jews, but they want to pretend to be something else. And you look at their pictures, you look at where they live, you look at their names, and so they're Jews. That's exactly what the hell they are. You understand what I'm saying? And
yeah.
How are we going to be unified with such people who do, essentially, Yahweh has commanded us to be separate. The whole purpose behind dual
citizenship. Well, that's where disarmament comes in, and confusion of face and recognizing racial traits. And, when I first came into the two-seed lot message, I kept all these feast days with different groups in East Tennessee and other places. And, just because Jim Wickstrom or somebody said somebody was pure white, that don't mean shit, okay? Where's your alcohol?
You found out it didn't mean anything. Initially, who are you going to believe? Wickstrom or your white?
Initially, I was naive, and I accepted that anybody at the feast day was pure white just because everybody said so. And I started looking around. I saw some of them with swarthy skin or hooked noses, or they couldn't blush. And I just put, I said, look, I want to put Yahweh's word to the test. And when he tells me if somebody can't blush and they got confusion of face and they don't look pure white, I don't need a DNA test. I don't need a blood test. I don't need their genealogy back 5 or 10 generations. I know they're a mongrel, so, this case closed.
Okay. Anyway, Gary, what about you here? Since we're going ahead and mention all these critters who have gotten into Christian identity and think that they're fooling somebody.
And at a point in time, they did fool some people.
Yeah.
And basically, the people they fooled were people who were just getting in a movement.
Mm-hmm.
Something like myself, okay. People who didn't have much education in the whole thing. That's why I stress the teachings of the scriptures as much as you can, and to teach the ones who are coming in who they are and what they are and what they're doing and what the history, and the best you can, because there's a lot of it, because there are those people out here will try and persuade them of a different persuasion, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's usually for money. It's usually for profit. That's what I've seen over the time. And I know that some people who teach probably need an income or whatever. But I think in the main is how we get caught up in it is because of the lack of the true study of the scriptures.
Well, if you understand that essentially, dual seed line is that all these critters are abominations or Jews or whatever. I mean, I got to sort of laugh at someone like Fink or Jeremy Visser and the rest screaming about Jews, 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 when essentially, look, I mean, why does Eli, I have a picture of Eli James on his talk show page, and they have a picture of essentially, he comes from Chicago, and there is this Jew who looks like Eli James' younger twin brother, and you have this Jew in a hat who looks exactly like a younger Eli James' twin brother and an older, obvious Jew. And essentially, you have Rahm Emanuel, the Jew mayor, about the time he was running for Chicago, and they said he couldn't run because he wasn't a resident. And then it went up to the Crooked Courts, and they said, sure, he can run here. It don't matter. He hasn't been resident for, 20 years? Sure, he can run. And then he got, essentially, the Jew became the mayor of Chicago. And this is around Hanukkah, which is around Christmas of 2010. And I would go ahead and juxtapose these two pictures and say, why does Eli James look like a Sephardic, look like a Chicago Sephardic Jew? And the simplest answer is the reason Eli James looks like a Chicago Sephardic Jew is because Eli James is a Chicago Sephardic Jew. That's the reason Eli James looks like a Jew, is because he is a Jew. Why does Fink look like a Jew? Why does Fink have a Jew name? Why does Fink look like an Ashkenazi Jew? Well, the answer is that it's because he is. Why does Jeremy Visser have a Sephardic Jew, a Dutch Sephardic Jew name, and take a picture from his YouTube video, and essentially rough. Russ is able to see these pictures. He's able to see that essentially it came from from Jeremy Visser's YouTube channel. And this is a picture of Jeremy Visser that Jeremy Visser put out, not something I put out. All I did was just simply take a screenshot, of Visser looking like he had a hooked nose, like he had reptilian, cork brown Mamzer eyes, and the critter has a red skin. I mean, why does Jeremy Visser look this way? And the answer is that Jeremy Visser is a Dutch Sephardic Jew Mamzer. And then you have characters like this Obagender Bender that impersonate a young white females. And the character is 54, 55 years old? He's an Australian. He sounds like an Australian homosexual they call poofters. And so the character, even these VNNF retards figured out this character has gender identity issues. And Russ says, why don't you get rid of this? This other character. And I point out, why doesn't this character show his real face? I mean, I have pictures of myself from when I was 30 years old. I have pictures of myself from when I was 42 years old, from 1988, where I got a free, I won because Roxy entered me in. I won a free picture. I got myself in my Army short shirt here. So I have a picture of myself when I was 30. I have a picture from 2000 that I bought at Walmart from when I was running against Pat Buchanan, when I was running in their Missouri Reform for U.S. Senator for the Reform Party. I have pictures of myself from March 2009. I have unflattering pictures that I've taken of myself in a cell phone camera where I look like a half-bearded, maniac. I look fat. You know what I mean? But you can see that I have blue eyes. You can go ahead and see my skin tone. You can go ahead and see what my nose looks like. You can see what my features look like from the ages of you know, from the ages of when I was, what, 30 years old, when I was 42 years old, when I was 50 years old, and when I was, what, 53 years old. You can see a number of pictures of me. And, folks, you know, when I first came in the movement, essentially it's been pretty well a 20 years now. I came into the movement after Waco, and Waco was last month. You know, it was the 20th anniversary of, you know, the Waco massacre. And back then, the internet didn't really get started for, you know, for even most of the first, you know, comers until what, 1995, when Netscape 1.0 came out, a browser which had graphics in it. And essentially, I bought Netscape 1.1. I got on, you know, I got on first, what, CompuServe. And, you know, this was before it was owned by AOL. And then I got on, essentially, I got on the local, you know, the local state-provided, you know, internet service called Joplin and Newton County Internet Service, Janix. And, any case, then, you know, I was pretty well explaining the history of movement communications here over the internet. And most of, you know, most of all these dual seed line Christian identity churches, you know, above ground churches, about all the, you know, the movement, really when it comes down to it, is just nothing other than internet. You no longer have publishing tabloid newspapers. You no longer have them printing mimeograph, you know, I don't know, this was before my time, but, you know, Gary might remember what they called A.B. Dick. You had these little spirit copiers, and they'd make a master out of, what, blue paper, you know what I mean? And then they'd go ahead and roll essentially something on a round cylinder, and they crank out all these what they call spirit copies. You know what I mean? I don't know. You know, Gary may have, you know, Gary. You know, this was more like when Gary was in his prime here, a young man. You know, I don't know if you remember A.B. Dick or whatever.
I remember the movie. Machines.
Yeah, these things where they'd make a spirit master, and then they'd go ahead and roll out, and they'd make a whole bunch of, it was sort of like cheap Xeroxes, you know what I mean?
Right.
And they make it out of blue. You know, I mean, you know, I've seen one or two people doing that here. This was, you know, this was back when essentially what they called a photostatic copy used to call a dollar. So essentially for the people who wanted to essentially print their own little flyers or stuff to post on. They used to go ahead and post stuff on telephone poles here with staples, you know what I mean? 8.5 by 11, and they'd have a bunch of it, and they'd be run off what they call A.B. Dick, you know what I mean? You know, it looked like Ab Dick, A.B. Dick, but essentially it was A.B. Dick or something like that here. They used to have what they called spirit copies or something like that. So I think Gary actually may have seen it back when it was done here. I sort of came into the tail end of it, didn't see too much of it, but essentially even by then, when I was a young man going to engineering school, pretty well these libraries, these college libraries, they had all these books here that cost a good deal of money, and they didn't want their students essentially just going to these expensive textbooks and these reference books and just tearing the sheet out. So essentially what they did is that they were the first to make having a Xerox machine cost only a nickel. You know what I mean? And the whole reason of it was that they weren't out to make any money off of Xeroxing. They were to make sure that their students just didn't simply rip out pages other expensive books than textbooks and reference books and, you know, what have you. So essentially the colleges came up with the nickel per page copying. You know what I mean? And essentially that put an end to the A.B. Dick. That was something that put an end to the A.B. Dick thing here. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
In any case, you know, You're making noise, Logan.
Yeah, I'm trying not to make any noise. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
No,
anyway,
thank you,
anyway, yeah. Okay, tomorrow we got, I don't know how long you're going to go tonight. I can't stay up all night. I mean, if you and Gary want to go all night, that's fine.
I don't know if we're going to make up, you know, but you have, you know, I mean, Gary... You know, Gary isn't going to talk too much about Wickstrom or have any problem with Wickstrom, but essentially, you know, thinking that you're going to have, quote, unity, especially in Chris Nannetti, what with all the Mamsers and the rest here. I mean, me, you, and Gary, we've been able to have perfectly acceptable conversations, even though we've had disagreements about pre-existence. We've had a number of disagreements, but they've always been polite disagreements. Because what we have is we have far more in common than we do have. We have far more in common racially and religiously than we have disagreements. We have had some disagreements, but we've always been able to essentially, you know, respectfully disagree. Would you say that's the case, Logan, Gary?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Gary was probably about to agree, right?
I agree, yeah.
And essentially, you know, we've all had, see, Gary, you know, Gary, he's what, 78, I'm 55, so Gary is what, 23 or 24 years older than me, so he's old enough to be my father. I am what, I think 13 years older than, you know, than Logan, which
means
is that Gary's almost old enough to be, you know, Logan's grandfather. I'm old enough to be, you know, Logan's older brother. So we almost have, what, three generations between the three of us, and Gary has remarked about that. And we've each come into Christian Identity through different, you know, you know, people and different teachers. There's this guy named R.D. Bradshaw. He came in from, you know, Herbert Armstrong's church, and pretty well he came up with a pretty well talking about pastoral abuse in Herbert Armstrong's church, and that's what I've seen. You didn't have any pastoral abuse in Wesley Swift's church, and in many cases you know, Wickstrom may try to do some pastoral abuse, but essentially most people who are in the dual seed line have pretty well told Wickstrom to hit the road. You understand what I mean? I mean, you know, Wickstrom, I don't need you. I don't need to buy your books. I don't need to buy your other stuff here. I don't agree with what you've done, and therefore, you know, leave it at that. But in the Worldwide Church of God, you had a good deal of pastoral abuse, and you still do among all these remnants, to where you have all these little wannabe gods on earth, you know, Herbert's, you know, hollow men, and they try to disfellowship, they try to kick out, they try to, I mean, if you just have a disagreement, or if you're actually listening to a different Worldwide Church of God ex-pastor here, why you will be, you know, you will be kicked out. That's what happened to my dad, my brother. My brother really wasn't very religious at all, but they pretty well kicked out my dad for bringing an old guy, you know, from out of Herbert's church to Garner Ted's church. And I think Garner Ted was a little bit better man than his father, Herbert, but, you know, still, I mean, generally all they were out was getting idiots to give them money. You understand what I'm saying? And
yeah.
pretty well our little, you know, sort of allied ministries, it's not about collecting money. It's about teaching. You know what I mean? So, and we may have some disagreements, but it's not like any of us need, especially to be supported by, you know, pretend to be pastors. It's not like any of us need people to buy our books or our tapes or listen to our shows or send us money or anything like that, right? So I don't think Gary charges to teach, to teach people up in Michigan. I know that Logan, I don't think you've ever begged for money, have you?
No, I was on Hal Turner for, and I was on shortwave. I was on an AM station in Nashville and New Orleans for a while.
Well, Hal Turner asked for money. Hal Turner was notorious.
I didn't ask for anything. All I asked is for my listeners, input, whether they liked me or they didn't like my show, whether they agreed with me or they didn't agree, that I asked for them to point out if they disagree with me or if they thought I was wrong, if they could use scripture or evidence to prove me wrong. And outside of that, I mean, I don't believe in a paid ministry like you.
I don't believe in paid ministry at all. I was talking to the Newscock show, and he was saying, Hill Covington says that there's not going to be any paid churches here. And I said, no, that's not exactly what Hill Covington points out. He points out that in his Northwest Republic, you won't have a paid-for ministry. You won't have, quote, tax-free churches. You won't have essentially people making money and having, essentially having a sinecure to essentially get money from their followers and then cause trouble politically for his new Northwest Republic. And I'm grateful to Yahweh for giving me a grandfather who gave me enough money to where I have $10,000 or $12,000 a year and I don't have to work for a living. You know what I mean? I'm grateful to that here. I think Gary is grateful that he's retired to where he can preach whatever he wants to and he doesn't have to worry about, being essentially, silenced because he doesn't have money. Right?
That's true.
And Logan, he has his own job, but I think Logan is, glad that he doesn't have to pay Hal Turner any money, right?
Basically, that was before I found out about Talk Show. I don't know when Talk Show came into existence, but basically, Jim and all these other people were on the Turner Radio Network, and I figured, well, I'll give it a try. Quite a few listeners, and of course, Hal could tell you how many listeners you had at all times, and so could that guy that was tied in with Dad John, Steve Melching. I was on his network, and he could tell you. But when I was on shortwave going all over the world, you didn't know how many listeners. I mean, I had some British Israel from Canada, and I had some British Israel from South Africa that listened to my show. I don't know how many because only a few wrote or called me. And basically, most of the people that listen to my show on shortwave that wrote me or called me, they were British Israel. I didn't have any identity people. As a matter of fact, John Leonard from Grand Junction, Colorado, he's probably dead now, he was Worldwide Church of God, and I taught him the two-seed line message. And then when he found out a lot of his friends and buddies were serpent seed, he said, well, God loves everybody. I don't want any more part of this two-seed line stuff. And so he broke ties with me at that point. And,
Herbert Armstrong used to believe that Judah was the Jews. And essentially what they did is that they, just like, most Protestant, beliefs here, is the Jews got passed over because they went ahead and killed Christ, and they didn't understand that Christ was the actual Messiah, and therefore Paul went and brought the actual Gentiles in, and essentially we're the grafted Abraham covenant here. So essentially your Protestant churches, as well as your Roman Catholic churches, they have far more use for Paul than what, I guess, dual seed line really does. I mean, and part of it in the Worldwide Church of God is there were always people who never did really like Jews. And Herbert gave his, rather than give his church to Garner Ted or to say to Herman Hay, rather than give it to the people who'd been there, he gave it to these Jews, these Russian Jews called Patach. And essentially, once Joe Junior, you know, Joe Junior or Joe Senior to catch got it, he gave the Worldwide Church of God to his kid Joe Junior. And essentially, Joe Junior, you know, pretty well purged all the stuff, all the Armstrongism, all the British Israelitism, and essentially that Jew, these two Jews, looted the crap that all these poor old white people, Anglo Mestizo people, had given up, you know, up to 30% of their income for years to build Ambassador College, you know, in Brickenwood, England, in Big Sandy, Texas, in Pasadena, California. All this, all these buildings, all this stuff here that they had brought, they essentially, they changed the doctrine, and when they changed the doctrine, all these people left. And essentially, these Jews just looted the Worldwide Church of God out of everything. You know what I mean? But you still end up having, I mean, I think there's a lot of people who ain't too crazy about Jews anymore in the Worldwide Church of God because, well, essentially, these Jews did what Jews do. They got in and they looted everything. They stole everything. And that's what Jews do. You know, Jews.
Well, not only do they loot and steal, but they integrate mongrelized and they destroy the white race and purge race mixing, and they pervert Yahweh's truth. They start changing scripture. They start, you know, twisting everything, and they don't teach. And that's why the dual seed line message. Those are the only people that even understand the beginning of the proper understanding and the interpretation of the scriptures. Nobody, I mean, even the Worldwide Church of God don't even come close to the truth. I mean, the dual seed line is the only true interpretation from Genesis 3:15. This warfare between the children of light and children of darkness has been going on for over 7,500 years. And until you get to the, I mean, when I first, okay, I went from church to church to church to church. I knew they were all phony. I stopped going to the churches. I started listening to independent preachers on the radio. Mm-hmm. And then I met some Jew lovers down in Georgia, but they were in the sacred name, and they thought the Jews were God's chosen people, and they weren't even British Israelism. They just believed in somehow that they were Gentiles, and they. Well, I think they're a bunch of mongrel Indians anyway, but they were friends with Buddy. And then when I met Buddy and Jim and all these people, and when I was first taught the two seed line message, everything clicked. I mean, I knew that I didn't like the Jews. I knew every Jew I ever met was a shifty, scumbag liar. But I really thought that they were the Israelite Hebrews of old. And when I was told that the pure white race was the Hebrew Israelites, and that the Jews or the serpent seed from Cain, they're the children of Satan. Everything makes sense, Martin. And I don't know how it was for Gary. When Gary, was there a point? I know Mike Innes and his dad and his brothers and his sons and everybody was teaching you. Was there a point when the light just turned on and you knew? Was there a point when you just knew that the two seed line message was truth and you knew you were an Israelite and you knew you weren't a Gentile or inferior Gentile? I mean, at what point did the tipping point of the scales, did it finally hit you, Gary, that you were convinced of the two seed line?
I think it took a little while for it to sink in, but I like the scripture where Yadi Vahi says, "My people, who I consider to be the house of Israel, the sons and daughters of Jacob, Israel, suffer because of lack of knowledge."
Yeah.
And what where I was at a reasonable age, I was suffering because of lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
And whenever I would come on something I didn't understand, I would get angry. I witnessed today in her 70s, and you expect them to get a little angry. And then you got to, you know, learn to go a little bit and then back off and talk with them a little bit. And give them your experience. You know, this, I was not born into this.
Yeah.
Then I run into people who were born into the message, or the true message, and brought up with that in, it brought up this thing while I was brought up in the opposite direction. And that was a wonderful experience for myself as a real witness to my wife. It took a longer time to convince her than it did me. But, of course, she had the children a little bit pulling on her apron strings, so to speak, and her sympathies and one thing and another. But I still think it's the knowledge. The lack of knowledge is what, it doesn't matter what we pursue, the lack of knowledge in the house is what is contaminated the whole issue. And because we haven't, and I say we, and it's myself, I always say, if you got a problem in your life, go look in the mirror, you're probably part of it. And this is my theory with dairy herds, my theory with the soils and everything. If you got a problem out in the soils, you got a problem in a dairy herd, or if you're raising goats or sheep or mink or whatever you're doing, go to the mirror and say, you know, this is possibly my fault, because people come around with knowledge all the time. But if you're not, I don't know how to put this, keen enough or whatever it is to decipher the truth, okay, because he says the truth will set you free also. If you're not, you can't decipher that truth, you're in a position where you can be manipulated. And I saw cases in which I thought, you know, I was being manipulated for one reason or another, okay, for the benefit of another.
Yeah.
And I had to pray about it, but I had to study. He said, study to show yourself true. Now, you don't have to get a Ph.D. degree or anything in that order. You can be with a general IQ, and you can learn and decipher scripture well enough with the help of the Holy Spirit to basically get you through these times.
And yeah,
I think that, and it's the brethren who come forward and put their self on the line, so to speak, to teach the sons and daughters of Jacob, much like I worked with today with a lady. It was kind of a coincidence what happened, but, you know, she said, I've often wondered about these things, you know, and you don't go around correcting everything they say the first time you meet them, but you try and get the message across. And I, you go home, and I can't send you home to read Revelation chapter 21, the first 15 verses, because it won't mean anything to you unless I give you the beginning and some of the middle. Okay?
Well, yeah. In my case, I mean, let me go ahead and give some credit to Worldwide Church of God. I mean, what Herbert made, except for the case of, you know, give a third of your income to Herbert, that was Herbert's horseshit. The anointing cloth, that was Herbert's horseshit. And essentially, Herbert didn't keep it. I mean, most of the British Israelite stuff was essentially, in most cases, unchanged from the Church of God Seventh Day in Stanbury, Missouri, from around, what, his 1975 in prophecy. Essentially, was altogether a plagiarism of this guy named Allen, who wrote, Jacob's, or Joseph's birthright and Judah's scepter, or the other way. And Herbert Armstrong didn't like being told he was a plagiarist, but he was. He plagiarized 85% of his doctrine, and the stuff that he changed was to give Herbert more money and make Herbert, and his little hollow men, gods on earth. So I had a good deal of contempt for a lot of the crap that Herbert added. You know what I mean? But the basic British Israelite message, pretty well, I got a very good religious instruction, far better than most seminary, most Baptist seminarians, because, in many cases, what they would have you do is go to your King James Bible and actually look it up. Actually look up Scripture. You understand what I'm saying? And some parts they didn't, you know, I mean, the only time Herbert would go ahead and talk about John 3:16 about, you know, doing all the world was when, you know, I mean, Herbert wanted to go ahead and get some money to pay for his Gulfstream to give fine crystal or water, Steuben crystal to the Chinks or the Japs or whatever. I mean, you know, then he'd talk about John 3:16. But most of your average churches here was pretty well, you keep the Sabbath, you keep the holy days, you keep a number of things. You got to understand is that this, you know, this was the heyday of the Worldwide Church of God in the 60s, and then it became successful, so then you end up having fights between Herbert's ministers who actually did read the Bible and figured out Herbert was lying. I mean, essentially most of your big fights was in, what, 1970, you know, was, well, 1970, after 1972, when, guess what, we didn't go to Petra. We didn't go to Petra in Jordan. The Great Tribulation didn't occur, and you had a number of fights with the ministries. You had, you know, then, you know, Herbert kicked out Gunner Ted. And essentially by the time 1986 came and, you know, that old Herbert croaked off and gave it to the Jews, I mean, essentially that was pretty well the end of the Worldwide Church of God. I mean, it was the beginning of the end, and now you end up having all these remnants. But, you know, let me give credit to the Worldwide Church of God. You know, they would have essentially a sermonette with your local elder, a local man preaching a sermonette of about 20 minutes. You'd end up having hymns, then you'd end up having the announcers, then you would have a sermon by essentially the man, you know, that you know, went from Ambassador College. So essentially you end up having a trained clergy. A lot of times they were hollow men, but, you know, they did know their British Israelite, you know, teaching. You understand what I'm saying? And they did preach it. And, you know, here I got essentially, what, 2 hours, you know, essentially 2 hours, you know, 2 hours, you know, 2 hours, you know, 2 hours a week, you know, on, you know, every Saturday. And then during the holy days, like Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, Pentecost, Trumpet, Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, you'd end up having, some days, have two-hour sermons. You know, well, 2.5 hour, you know, 2 hour, 2:50, something like that. So essentially you would have, you know, in the period of what, from the age of 10 to the age of 20, when, you know, like most young people in the Worldwide Church of God, I pretty well rebelled against it for, what, 15 years, you had essentially about 1,000 or so hours of, you know, several thousand, more hours than you would get in a seminary of teaching when you are relatively young and able to absorb it. You know what I mean? So I'll give credit to the Worldwide Church of God. I'm glad that, you know, I did have that, even though I did not like or agree with a lot of Herbert's, you know, extraneous horseshit that was meant to give Herbert a whole bunch of money and give Herbert's hollow men power. And you still have these characters, in most cases, be it Ron Meredith or David Pack or let me see, whatever, you know, other, you end up having a whole bunch of splinter groups, and they still, you know, here, you have a congregation that meets, I think, up in Joplin, of 120 people, essentially in what, southwest, you know, southeast Kansas, northwest Oklahoma, and essentially southwest Missouri. And they have, I think they have a Fayetteville church as well here. So essentially you have far more people who understand British Israelitism, or that we are the, you know, you'll end up having, you know, some people who have a little bit of, you know, Anglo-Mestizo in it, but mainly it's just a lot of white people essentially follow that here. And here in southwest Missouri, you're on the edge of the Ozarks, which is the number one area for Christian Identity believers. Now, most of them are Herbert Armstrong remnants, but you have a good deal of dual seed line as well. I think it was good to learn that. And what the reason I went to dual seed line is, well, I mean, I'd ask questions as a kid. Well, if it's just Cain and Abel and Adam and Eve and Cain's murdered Abel, why does Cain need a mark on his face? I mean, you know, why does Cain need a mark? I mean, didn't Adam and Eve have enough sense to tell their daughters to stay away from Cain because, you know, he has a history of violence? He's sort of mean. Look what he did to your brother Abel. I mean, you know, and then when I understood the dual seed line message, well, essentially, you know, that there was no worldwide flood. There was just a local flood. That essentially there's two seed lines. I mean, and that, you know, there's a reason Cain did what he did. It pretty well took all these questions of mine and essentially answered them. You know what I mean? Pure dual seed line Christian identity does not step on its own theological tail. If it does, it's because you have a Jew or Mamzer bringing in a bunch of the stupid crap. You know what I mean? I routinely trip up Visser or Eli James or Fink by going ahead and essentially finding out where they're out and out lying and, you know, how they're at variance with what they pretend to preach. And I'd like to thank the Worldwide Church of God for essentially training me at an early age to where, you know, it might take about half hour, but usually I can find whatever I'm looking for in the Bible. You know what I mean?
I think a point to bring out on that is this, and this has not been taught by too much of anybody back, but we've been more or less getting into that. The King James Version, whether you like it or not, if you just go to that and you look where Eve was questioned by Yadi Vahi and said, "Why did you do this?" And she said, "Well, Lucifer beguiled me."
Yeah, he fooled me. He seduced me. He beguiled me.
But even in the identity message, they don't bring that out. Is in a point like I work with this woman today. He was beguiled, and this, look up the word beguiled. It was sexually seduced.
Yeah.
He sexually seduced me, and I did occult. I did partake. I did partake of it, and. Then you got people say, "Oh, you see, it's right in the King James Version for them all to look at."
Yeah, and it's not.
It's no different than the lady today. Again, we talked about born again. I said, "Let's go to the Strong's Concordance." Again, born again was never in the Scripture ever any place at all. It was born from above. They changed it to again, so it's inclusive. And she said, "Oh, now this makes sense to me." And I said, that gets you into using the King James Version, which is right underneath my nose. When this was brought to my attention and discovered, then you go over to John, and I can't remember the verses. You may help me with that. You guys are really sharp with this with your history. You over to John, and he was talking to Nathaniel. And he says, Nathaniel, an Israelite indeed in whom there
is no guile.
And you can take that two-part, three-part, whatever it is, and bring it to the person you're talking to, witnessing to, whether it be a Baptist, a Catholic, or whatever. You can bring that to them right from the scriptures they're carrying.
Whenever I hear that, I'm tempted to say, "Russ Walker or Russifer, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." And so, a lot of time there is not much discernment either. But
this happens. You know, I look in the mirror and say, "Well, you know, Gary, it's not your fault if someone doesn't get the message. But it sure as hell is your fault if you don't study it out and you don't try and give them the right information. It's no different than becoming a diesel mechanic.
Yeah.
Not trying to make lightly of the scriptures by saying that. Don't get me wrong in any area.
Well, you need to have good diesel mechanics. You know what I mean?
There are people who know how to repair diesels, and there are people who don't. And they go to the same schools. Okay?
Yeah.
Is it the school, or was it the student?
Well, it's a mixture. It's a mixture of both here, but
you're right there.
It's a mixture of both.
When you go to the Baptist church, I was raised Methodist, went Baptist. My wife was raised Catholic, and we went to the Baptist church. There's no difference between these too much, except that they interpret everything you get to read. And when you bring this interpretation, like I said to our son, look at what it says here. It says born from above, not at born. This is right in your scripture. This is your doctrine. And then I take him to Jeremiah and tell him about how he divorced Israel. Take him back to Revelation and show him where he back as a bridegroom. And he didn't do away with the law. You know, he kept the law. And I take him over where it says the law is that. You know.
Well, you have essentially, yeah, I mean, everybody. I mean, you can go to the dollar store and buy a cheap wood pulp printed King James Bible with essentially three columns here. You know, sort of hard to read, but you can buy one for a dollar. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And essentially, your Strong's concordances, pretty well all your actual work here, and you will end up having crap like Cyrus Schofield, horse shit here, awful stuff like that. You will have stuff like that in it here, but you know, I have a reference Bible that my dad, you know, gave me in 1972, and essentially it will have some useful, you know, no Schofield stuff, but it will have useful margin notes and cross references in the columns, just like the Geneva Bible had. And in many cases, it's quite useful to do that. But you also will have the Mormons, I got three King James Bibles from the Mormons. And essentially, I usually go through my Mormon Bible, because that's the one I had in the jail or what have you with me. And essentially, everybody has a King James Bible. Now, I sort of think that the Douay-Rheims is superior because it's based upon the Catholic Bible. It's not because it's the Catholic New Testament is so much better, but because the Catholic Old Testament is based upon the Septuagint, and pretty well all the Protestant Bibles, including especially King James Bible, is based upon the Masoretic text, and you add essentially these Jews working on screwing it up for about 800 years. You know what I mean? But still, the King James Bible is good enough to go ahead and start. And what you need to do, if you're going to teach anybody, essentially you need to have a Bible that they can themselves look at. And then if you have a few problems like John 3:16, you go ahead and you point out to where, hey, this is just some crap that got snuck in. You know what I mean? And essentially...
Hey, Martin?
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I've got to get up real early, and I'm going to go ahead and log out as Logan Hunter. And if you want to take a break now and come back in a minute, you and Gary can continue.
Well, I don't know. It's what? It's 11:47 where Gary is.
I'm going to call it quits. And
you're going to call it quits, too?
Yes, because it's part of
the... But I definitely got to log as Logan Hunter. There's no reason for you to stop the show. I'm just going to log as Logan Hunter, okay?
Especially what do you keep... You go ahead, you hang up. What happens, leave your computer on. You know what I mean? Okay? Leave your computer on.
Okay. So you don't want to log in as Logan Hunter. You just want me to hang up.
Just go ahead and hang up when you're done here. I think we'll go ahead and wrap this up in about 5 minutes. You know, me, you, and Gary. and we'll go ahead and wrap this up in 5 minutes. Tomorrow night, it's essentially the Logan.
Yeah, tomorrow night we'll probably go 5 hours. I need to get up early tomorrow, but tomorrow night we'll go 5 hours, our normal time. And then Gary can call in 8 o'clock his time, Gary. 8 o'clock your time, 7 o'clock my time. 8 o'clock you call Martin, and we'll start the show, okay?
That'd be good. 8 o'clock.
Okay, 8 o'clock my time. I may be a little bit late. I mean, tomorrow I need to go over to the
I'll start the show without you two guys. I'll have to start the show, but whenever you are ready, I'll pull you and Gary into the show, okay? And I'll send the email out to I'm going
to
tell, hey, listen, if y'all want to stay on, y'all keep on going. I'll leave the computer on. I'm just going to hang up, okay?
Yeah, that'll be a thing to do. Tomorrow, Genesis 50, if I'm not in, you go ahead and read the very last chapter. I mean, essentially finish up Genesis before you go on to Jasher. And essentially what there will be is that there, I don't think there's too much about what happened in the vast majority of the 400, it was not exactly 400 years. It was actually 300 some. And I think that essentially the Exodus occurred during the Hyksos, as opposed to 1451 when you had, Thutmose the Third. I think it occurred probably around 1550 to 1525. I think it occurred about 175 years before 1451 BC, myself, okay?
Yeah. Well, listen, guys, it's been a wonderful time, and it's been a wonderful time sharing the gospel with whoever might be listening. And we pray for the salvation of the house of Jacob Israel.
Okay. The point I wanted to make is that we shouldn't feel guilty because we cannot get along with, Wickstrom or Eli James or Finkelschini or Brian Rio or all these other Jews and Mamzers because they essentially do not belong among us. And we actually
cut ties with them.
We have a duty not only cut ties with them. We have a duty to pretty well tell any white people who are being fooled by these Jews and Mamzers that they're a bunch of Jews and Mamzers. But what I see, especially around Visser, I mean, essentially, I don't see any white people around Visser. I just see other Mongols and Jews and Nimbusters and all sorts of vermin like that. I don't see any real white people.
I'm not worried about it. I don't care about Obie and Visser and all these people. And if Russ and anybody else wants to go down to Atlanta and visit them, that's great. He can take pictures.
Fine.
He can do whatever
that's
he
fine
wants.
Here. I sort of think that Russ is not going to see any blue-eyed, blonde, 6'5" Israelite here. I think he's going to see a hook-nosed. He's going to see a hook-nosed, reptilian-eyed, cork-eyed, Mamzer who's about maybe 6 foot tall, maybe. You know what I mean? He's going to go ahead and see a Jew Melungeon here. Anyway, Gary, I'm going to let you go, and Logan, I'm going to let you go, and we will go ahead and meet up tomorrow around 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
All right,
okay, now, hold on. Do I leave my computer alone, or
You go ahead and hang up, and we'll take about a 2 or 3 or 4 minute break, and then I will come back, and essentially I'll go ahead and I'll say a little bit about what's going on in the movement, and then we'll go ahead and finish up, okay?
Okay.
Hail Victor. And Gary, he hung up, and essentially we'll be by tomorrow. And Logie's going to go ahead and hang up, and I'm going to take about a 4 or 5 minute break. And then, Logan's going to leave the computer on, and essentially after the break, I'll come back for the last section on Loom Turn. Hail Victor, folks. Okay, folks, we're back. We have a few people here, not a lot. In any case here, this is, well, this is screwing up my IP number. Go ahead and get me banned. Now, folks, I have never, I've never gone ahead and worked on getting Eli James or Fink or Jeremy Visser or any of these other Jew and Mamzer tards banned. And the reason I don't is because actually I view Fink and Eli James and Visser and Obagender Bender as useful. The reason they're useful is that anybody who follows them, you know, be it, I'll start making fun of, the intern. Now, here is a epileptic Jew, you know, here is an epileptic retarded Jew faggot from Baltimore going ahead and acting like an epileptic retarded Jew faggot from Baltimore. I mean, the character is a smart. He went ahead and outed Neuskykes still living in New York, where me and Logan went ahead and picked up on that. A lot of these people, they don't know how to act. And when you have a bunch of them, like last week, oh, please make it look, you know, please get rid of Obagender Bender. I mean, the character makes us look bad. Well, yes, the character does. You know, I mean, there's not really much call in Christian day for known Jew and Mams or faggots. I mean, what good are they? What particular good are they? What are they going to accomplish? And the answer is nothing other than putting who are the real people on, you know, on alert here. They don't belong. And most real Christian identity people don't bother listening to them. And folks, I don't have a problem with, you know, once you know who these creatures are, you know, acting accordingly. Now, I went ahead and taped up WhiteNations.com. I found out about that from listening to the Pisser Possum and Obagender Bender show last, you know, I call it the Pisser Possum Turds. And essentially, they whine and they cannot do anything other than talk about me, 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 me. I guess I ought to be grateful. But in any case, I went over there. Essentially, all it is just a bunch of tards who have been banned from VNNF, and Linder, from what I gather, has pretty well told them that anybody who, you know, essentially his Wigger tards, his actual Wigger and Anglo Mestizo tards, who aren't Jews, who go over there, are going to be banned from VNNF. And essentially what happens, they've already banned a number of people over on this WhiteNations.com, including myself. I went ahead and signed up, and as Pastor Lynn said, essentially my registration was noted, and no, I'm not allowed to be on there. The Visser is. Does it really matter? No, it tells me who these people are and what these people are, and why in the world should I be surprised at their behavior? And the answer is I shouldn't. In this movement, you have a bunch of people, and they talk about how unity is our greatest strength. And the answer is no. Unity is bad because it allows all sorts of critters to come in. I've been in the movement for 20 years, and what I found out, judging from when I was, you know, running in the militia, in many cases your smarter characters here, in many cases, might very well be, just like it turned out, Missouri Highway Patrolmen. And they get in, and they dig, and they snoop, and they cause trouble, and they make a bogus case where people can go ahead and get screwed. Well, for our purpose, you go ahead and read the book of Revelation. You don't see anything about Yahweh will provide a resistance group to save the white race. No. Where it actually says something about this is in Matthew chapter 24, verses 20 through 21. He says that there will be a great tribulation such as never was and never shall be, you know, ever be. And unless Christ returned, no flesh should be saved. And what flesh is, essentially, it's the remnant that Christ was worrying about. Christ isn't worried about the Mongols. Christ isn't worried about the Jews. Christ isn't worried about any of these characters who are not Israel. He's not worried about Uyghurs. Last night, I was listening to Harold Covington. Essentially, Covington, he didn't come out and say it, but he did say it. He said that what we have is not so much a nigger or beaner or gook or even a Jew problem. We have a Uyghur problem. But what to do? And the answer is, do you create a resistance movement with essentially Uyghur tards who the smarter ones are more than likely to be, you know, police or Zogbots or the rest here, or in the case of Jeremy Visser and Eli James and Fink, a bunch of Jew mansers? Are we going to create a resistance out of that? And the answer is, no, you're not. Are you going to create a resistance out of people like Rebecca Mace, who essentially is a red nigger who wants to pretend to be an Israelite, and she's not? Are you going to create anything out of that, out of these delusionals? The answer is, no, you're not. Tomorrow is, what, the 8th anniversary of my bogus arrest for child molestation. Essentially, you know, of all the people who could probably know how to fight that thing, here I was, essentially. It didn't matter what I said. It didn't matter what the law was. The actual law says that they if they believe that I molested my grandchildren, they're supposed to investigate within 90 days and then come up with a report within 30. And it wasn't all about that. It was all about going ahead and stealing children, white children, in order to buy and sell them to perverts and supporters of that. Folks, this so-called law, and I've seen this, you know, Bill White said it here, is that essentially the law is just nothing more than a pretense to where evildoers can go ahead and destroy white nations here. And it's happened before. It happened in Assyria. It happened in, you know, Persia. It happened in Macedonia. It happened in Rome. It happened in Portugal and Spain and in Britain. And now it's happening here. And now there's no more white people, no noble barbarians like Lothar Pisani said to give it to, like he wrote in 1922. There's nobody to essentially hand this to us. Essentially, the white race is being systematically destroyed, or at least the good, the better elements of it. The rest of it's being turned into Uyghurs. So what to do? What to do? And the answer is there is nothing that any of us can do at all. All we can work on doing is saving ourselves. Now, I've been listening to Harold Covington's podcast, and he said that nobody sane wants to come back to what? You know, Mad Max and essentially the collapse of, quote, civilization. Well, count me not altogether sane, man. And there's a lot of people say I am insane. Now, I've been doped up in my little brain. Cells have been pickled here due to my doping and torture for 3.5 years in the nut house. And I point out is that, folks, was there any doubt? I mean, as long as Rome existed, there was a doubt. Rome went ahead under Julius Caesar and destroyed Gaul. Essentially, it was Herman the German, Arminius, who saved the German people by destroying or running Rome out, by luring 3 legions in the woodlands in the Teutoburger Wall, the Teutoburger Forest, and destroying any hope of essentially making empire pay. No, folks, generally when white people are able to kill the beaners and the Jews, and there's nothing for a Jew to eat, there's barely enough for white people to eat, there's nothing for a Jew to eat, there's nothing for a beaner to eat, there's nothing for a nigger to eat. Essentially, when things fall back, I mean, the Great Tribulation is going to be the salvation of the white race. And essentially, salvation will come when things are so bad that Christ returns here, and it cannot go ahead and get better. It cannot, you know, you have 7 years of Great Tribulation, 3.5 years of awful stuff happening, and then 3.5 years of even worse stuff happening. And then in Revelation chapter 18, you have a great collapse. And one of these nights, perhaps we will cover the book of Revelation here.
go ahead and upgrade Bertrand Compere on that. Because Bertrand Compere was worried about Jew communism. Well, essentially, although Bertrand Compere was understanding that essentially Zog Babylon was America. That's where we need to understand. Zog Babylon, you know, just like in the first Zog Babylon, was not under Cain. It was understood that Cain was evil, that Cain, essentially what he wanted to do is he wanted to bring the Adamites. He wanted to bring his half-brothers and sisters and put them under his dominion. And the first Zog Babylon was in the Tarim Basin, to where you had miscegenation with some of the Gooks and some of these niggers who had crawled, Dravidian niggers who had crawled through the passes in the Himalayas, and a whole bunch of demons who left their first estate, like it says in Jude. They were in rebellion. They had free will, and therefore they chose to rebel. The first Zog Babylon wasn't under Cain. The first Zog Babylon was under, essentially, the patriarchs not being able to control their younger brothers and sisters who turned wigger. Like in the Cave of Treasures, they were supposed to be on this mountain in which there was a certain cave to where essentially the good seed line, the prime seed line, dwelt. And most of them, just like Lot, chose, well, like Logan, you know, he said he has a modern way of putting it, drug, sex, and rock and roll, corn liquor, what have you. I'm not exactly a Baptist. I don't have any problem with corn liquor or anything like that. But, folks, there's some understanding in the Book of the Cave of Treasures is that once they had become wiggerized, once they become mamzerized, there was no going back onto the mountain. There was no getting back to the Cave of Treasures. That was reserved only for the good bloodline, the chosen seed, not of Israel's race, but of Seth's race, through Adam. Let's understand the right wing, the true right wing, has always figured out that it's not a matter of education. That's what the left believes. That's what the Bolsheviks believe. They believe that you can turn a Quaker into a Jew boy by educating him, by forcing him to do it. But the true right has always understood that it's a matter of blood. It's a matter of heritage. It's a matter of race. And so we act accordingly. We understand accordingly. We're not surprised when someone like Jeremy Visser acts like a lion supporting Jew Mamzer. We're not surprised when Obagender Bender acts like a transgendered Pisser's poster possum. We're not surprised when Eli James acts like a lying Chicago supporting Jew. We're not surprised when Finkel Schnee acts like a lying Jersey City Jew pig. We're not surprised when all these characters act according to their nature. Don't we believe that essentially their nature is evil? They are born evil? Why are we surprised when creatures act according to their nature? We shouldn't be, should we? If we act surprised that essentially the creatures act that, you know, according to what we say they will act like because they are what they are, that means that we don't really believe what we say. And if you don't believe what you are saying, then why are you bothering to pretend? Why are you bothering to be among us? The only reason you have to be among us, if you don't really believe what you're supposed to believe, is because you are not what you say that you are. That's why it's necessary for anyone who claims to be a Christian day pastor to, you need to know who he is, where he comes from, who his parents were, what he looks like, what he's looked like when he was, say, a child. What he looked like when he was a teenager, what he looked like when he was a young man, what he looked like in his old age, and what he looks like when he's young. That's why I have never been scared to show my grandchildren's pictures. I'm proud of my grandchildren. I pray for them every night. And tomorrow will be, what, the 8th anniversary? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to start scanning in my Nut House journals. I'm going to go ahead and scan in what I remember of my arrests here, and if I can find them, my diaries, and post them in. Folks, I believe this civil war can be won. All you have to do is be resigned to killing. Traitors and Jews and Mamzers, but not as an organized effort, but rather as a local effort. The 10,000 Warlords program says hate globally, kill locally. Don't worry about how criminals are not being treated very nicely, because they don't deserve any mercy. They deserve death. And so they shall get. So they shall receive. They will receive exactly what they have coming. Do not worry. Do not worry about Axis. I'll listen to Axis Skanky's podcast tomorrow. I need to go to Neosho. I need to get my other lawnmower. I need to get a number of things. Essentially, it's raining like crazy. I need to work on my garden. I need to work on a number of things. I need to work on, my probate thing. I need to work on my tax, protest thing. I need to work on my federal lawsuit against Pig Oak and essentially Newton County Pigs. And I need to make quite clear that essentially this is not the time to build anything. This is the time to know who you are. This is the time to decide that you will not serve Satan. This is a time for you to crawl underneath the radar. This is the time for you, when you have the chance, to rise up and dispose of Zog Babylon and then disappear back into the word work. This is the time for you to know not only who you are, but who your enemy is, who's who and who's Jew. And that's what this show is about. I, haven't been able to troll as much as I would like to troll because of Jeremy Visser doing that vicious little thing. But did it go ahead and stop me? Well, it sort of stopped a few things. And I might very well have to start a new talk show program. I'd like to thank Logan for being my helper in doing what needed to be done. I really would like to thank him for doing that. He has been quite useful to me. And so is Gary. You have some genuine Israelites who have done a good deal. And whether you agree all together with us or not, it doesn't really matter. I mean, we are not policemen of your souls. We are, I guess, your elders, your elder brothers, your people who help you out here. And that's why essentially what Logan Hunter does is that we've been talking a little bit about, what's going on in the movement. I mean, Linder is having a fit that essentially his Whigger tards are abandoning him. Oh, well. I mean, folks, once you end up become known for essentially running a Jew show, a Jew forum, how can you go ahead and whine about Jews? What good is it going to do you? What particular good is it going to do you? And the answer is none. Essentially, Linder's VNNF here has gone downhill. He's gone ahead and banned people like crazy.
And essentially it got to where here he bans old Fred O'Malley, and old Fred's not going to send him any more money. Essentially, Fred and the rest go, and they buy them a V-Bulletin license, probably a V-Bulletin, what, 4.2 point whatever, or maybe a V-Bulletin 4.3 whatever, or maybe a V-Bulletin 5.0 license. And what do they do with it? Well, they create a look-alike, which is going to be like VNNF. It's going to be like Stormfront, which is going to be like Four Fags Thieves. They create for themselves what they want. No big deal. They got done what they wanted to get done. So, what to say? What to say? And, folks, that's fine. But Obama, oh, by the way, Saturday, you'll have old Carolyn Yenta. She will be supposedly interviewing Trader Glenn Miller. Why? What do you need to know? Why do you need to go ahead and listen to a drunken rat, a drunken Anglo-Mestizo Mamzer rat, who self-admittedly was in, the Federal Witness Protection Program, who snitched out people who had given him money and people who had not given him money. Why in the world would a rat have anything worthwhile to say? Oh, by the way, I've taken over for Logan Hunter. In case, folks, why would anybody have anything to do with a known rat, with a known traitor, unless you're a traitor yourself? That's why Truth Militia is ridiculous. You have Finkelstein, you have Mike the Kike Delaney. You have all these characters, you know, Andre the Nigger Angolan. I mean, folks, why in the world? I mean, if you are really white, why would you follow a known Jew, a known nigger, a known Zogbot, a known Anglo-Mestizo? The only reason you have to follow such creatures is because you're a Jew or a nigger or a mamzer yourself. So that's why I don't worry too much about Finkelstein's decline. I've gloated about Finkelstein. As far as the liar, I go ahead and I see the same old Anglo-Mestizos, Rebecca Mush. Now, essentially, here she is pretending to be an Israelite, but she's not an Israelite. I'm not Rebecca Mason. Well, yes, you are. Eli James, I mean, if you want to go ahead and talk on Dan Kersey and call me a convicted child molester, all it means is that, well, when time comes, Jew boy, wiggertard, someone like me probably ain't going to have too much mercy on whatever spawn you may have because, hey, evil Jews create evil spawn. Lying wiggers create lying wigger spawn. Let's not have any mercy on such critters. I mean, folks, the whole point of the Great Tribulation is the extermination of such creatures. And the vast majority of wiggers are absolutely worthless. No, Kumpchill's worried that essentially it'd be like the one-horse shay of Oliver Wendell Holmes. It lasted so long here and then it fell apart into dust here. And yet, there was nothing left. Folks, anyone who looks at what's going on understands that Zog Babylon will sooner or later collapse. It will implode. And essentially what Kumpchill's trying to do is he's trying to build something. With what? Oh, so slow and not enough. Well, folks, when is it ever going to be enough? When is it ever going to be perfect? When are you ever going to have essentially a collapse and essentially a civil war too, a racial collapse here where essentially you can get there from here with 90% of your Uyghur herd animals who used to serve the Jews and the Mamzers and the Muds and essentially vote for a bongo. Folks, you don't want such creatures to survive. You want such creatures to die. And you want creatures to die screaming and their spawn screaming. Yahweh's way is that if you look at what Yahweh did to the first Zog Babylon, why it says
only Noah, Noah's wife, his three sons, and their wives survived. And if you go ahead and you look at tradition, well, maybe one or two giants survived. They managed to crawl on. And maybe old Ham, he was a total wigger. Maybe he had his, you know, Jew wife, you know, Naama. And maybe he had, you know, maybe he had a nigger, you know, a Dravidian nigger he was humping. He became, you know, squeezed out Kush, i.e. Hindu Kush, Ethiopian Kush, and thus Nimrod. But folks, you end up having, even in the Book of Jasher, 700,000 wiggers who were just like they were 4,400 years ago. A bunch of wiggers. Oh, well, hey, we get to go ahead and copulate like crazy with whatever it is. No, let us on the ark! According to the Book of Jasher, Noah 6, not only the dogs on them, but the lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my! And essentially, they go ahead and munch down 700,000 wiggers, and the rest of them go ahead and they get to learn destructive swimming. 23 feet below the highest, you know, above the highest of the foothills in the Tarim Basin. Too bad. Sounds like Yahweh didn't really much care. By the way, Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, I've been reading this book by Brian Godwin, Abraham Ligant here. And essentially, it borrows a bunch of stuff from Jasher, but it ends up having sort of like the A-Team and Kung Fu and all this sort of thing and copulation and how essentially Obongo care is bad or something like this. This sounds more like a Judeo-Wiggertard would write a book if he read the Book of Jasher. But that was pretty interesting stuff, but the thing that made it most worthwhile was sort of lacking. In any case, folks, let's understand something. I'm moving turd. None of these tards are going to solve anything. There's nothing, there's no way that things can be solved. Things will go ahead and become the way they are. And let's understand that, okay? Let's understand that very well. In any case, folks, hopefully maybe next week I will get my act together. I will go ahead and hook up a new modem or a different modem, have my IP number changed so I can be on during the regular talk show time. Oh, by the way, Sunday will be different because essentially I am pursuing a graduation in Wiggerology. I will be, it's the Survivor season finale, and all those who have been with this show for the past 3.5 years knows that essentially no movement turned while Survivor finale is on. So essentially, I'm not sure if I'm going to have the show early, or I'm going to go ahead and put it on Monday. But in any case, so essentially we will see what happens Sunday, okay? It'll either be earlier Sunday afternoon, or more likely it will be on Monday. Can someone do it for you? No. Essentially, I squeeze out my own movement turn. In any case, folks, by the way, Pearson, the forum should be up. You might go ahead and, choose one of your better emails. By the way, if you're going to post something on the Bill White, about Bill White, put it on the Bill White thread that's already there. So, in any case, folks, let's understand how we get there from here. We get there from here not through building anything. So essentially we get there by surviving as best we can the Great Tribulation. Like I explained to Gary, and Gary agreed with me, this is, after Passover, essentially, we're going to be covering the Book of Jasher, and I'm going to be making my point in that I think that actually Exodus occurred probably, in 1550 or so B.C. instead of 1451 B.C. I don't think it occurred during the reign of Thutmose III. I think it occurred when essentially Egypt was already divided. And essentially, these Hyksos were wanting to stay in. And essentially, because of all the collapse here, that the essentially the Thebans were able to come in and drive out the Hyksos. And the Hebrews had already left. So, folks, Logan, if I'm not in at 7 o'clock, Logan will read Genesis chapter 50, and then we'll head toward the Exodus and the book of Jasher compared to the Exodus. So, folks, in any case, I think I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to go ahead and say, figure Paul should do it. Okay. What happens is don't worry about Pearson. I mean, what I'll end up doing is if I worry about it, I'll just go ahead and take over that thread with another post and then move your post under into the, Bill White thread. See, I may not be Yahweh, but I am, I am a fairly competent V-Bulletin, forum administrator. I know all the tricks. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and call it, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I'm going to go ahead and say, Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.